Hello and welcome to the Pit Imps Podcast, brought to you by the Brainstorm Brewery. This is episode number 71. I am your host, Angelo, and back this week, as always, is the Sex Panther himself, the asterisk of the... Damn, I said that wrong. The asterisk of the magic community, Brother Ryan. Ryan. Oh, shit, he's not here today. My bad. So I guess I'm going to have to do this solo unless I can call in one of my friends. Let me see here. Celso, you around?
Hey, what up, what up? Hey, I have to do that for Ryan. If he's not going to be here to do it, somebody's got to step in and do it.
Yeah, somebody clearly has to do the whole what up, what up. So John Celso is going to replace Ryan tonight. Why is Ryan not here, you ask? Well, about an hour before the cast, Ryan decided he needed some food, and he went to Jimmy John's. And then he got a bad case of food poisoning.
Yeah, it's bad beats. He went with the tuna, and the tuna just blew him out. It was just... Yeah, run bad. It happens, you know?
Well, I mean, when you're getting tuna from a sub shop, you should probably expect what you're getting. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying.
I'm surprised, because they have quality sandwiches. Like, when I lived in Blacksburg, Virginia, it was right across from my dorm. I was there, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days a week. They have quality sandwiches. So, you know, it saddens me that we lost a victim to some food poisoning tonight. But
I guess you know my feelings on Jimmy John's. I mentioned it on the cast before. I told you the story before this. I do not like Jimmy John's, so I'm kind of upset that Ryan got sick from it, but at the same time, I fucking hate Jimmy John's, so
I get it.
So my absolute favorite format was played down in Atlanta this week, and
Chromatic? Is it Chromatic, the 250 card, or Prismatic? Is it Prismatic?
No.
Prismatic. Tribal Wars.
No.
Tribal Wars.
Momir Vig.
Oh, man! Can we play some Momir Vig?
That would be an awesome GP format. Those poor judges would be scrambling to do it. Oh, shit, we need a card. I need a 13 drop.
Draco, where's my Draco?
No, it was playing limited, and Theros limited at that. And, you know, it was, which is kind of cool. And since you're on here, and because, you know, he's my buddy, too, not quite like you, I should mention that from the Tap and Sack podcast, our good brother Houston, day two to some bitch.
Yeah, that was freaking awesome. Tap and Sack, represent.
Yes. You know, congratulations to Houston. I know he said he didn't money, but, you know, that's a big step forward in anybody's magic career to finally break that wall of day two.
Agreed. Agreed.
So next time, win some money, fucker.
Now that give you me a cut.
Yeah, now that you've reached this point, it's time to step your damn game up. No, congratulations to Houston for that. But they were playing limited, and we had a top eight that consisted of John Stern, Sean McLaren, Alex...
Mezhelton?
Yes! I always fuck his name up because it just does not look like the way it should sound to me.
Oh, I know.
Yes, we have William Huey Jensen, Tomoharu Saito, Vidyanta Wajaya, Charlie Murdoch, and Chris Spinell. That's kind of stacked. You could tell there was a pro tour last week in Atlanta, huh?
Yeah, that was, I mean, you got Hall of Famers, you got, like, guys that are new to the scene, or at least new to the pro tour scene, you got, like, people that have just been lingering in the background the whole time, like, veterans of the game that, like, haven't got that high-level status, like Stern and Mezhelton. I mean, they're both around, they're no slouches. There's nobody in this top eight that I could think of that is, like, a complete noob to this. I mean, all of them, they're all really good.
Yeah, I can remember Stern when he was kind of just getting started. It was weird. He would come down this way once in a while to do PTQs. So.
Yeah, I mean, those Canadians always make those random trips to your neck of the woods. Also, New England, too. I mean, you got KYT and those folks coming straight down from Montreal to Connecticut and Maryland and stuff.
Yeah, so. I want to say he had a girlfriend that lived in Beaver.
Oh, Beaver, PA?
Yes, which is, like, literally down the road from me. So it was just, like, a no-brainer for him to come here.
Right.
And, you know, play these games. So, you know, he'd visit his girlfriend, play some magic wise here, do the PTQ. If he is exactly who I think he is, and, like, I know he's been around forever, and he looks exactly like the guy I've played umpteenth times, and I'm almost certain his name back then was John Stern, but I don't want to, you know, I do want to put the disclaimer out there that I could be mistaking his identity with a doppelganger.
Some guy, he just runs, you know, a gas station out in Idaho now, and,
yeah, but, I mean, I could have swore the guy said he wasn't from around here, he was from up north, that's what he told me, and he had a girlfriend that lived down here, so he would come down and play cards. Anyway, let's move on. So, John Stern versus number 12 in the world, Sean McLard, and John Stern wins 2-1. Alex Mashulton versus William Huey Jensen, and Jensen gets the sweep there. Charlie Murdoch versus number 18, Chris Fennell. Charlie Murdoch wins 2-1. And I'm sorry, but Tomoharu Saito versus Vidyanto Wajaya, that is like a dream matchup to sit down and watch.
Oh yeah. I mean, they are really, really good. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to see the coverage, but, I know Constructed. These two guys are powerhouses.
Yes. Yes. In Constructed, they are probably a little bit better than what they're considered as far as Limited goes, but still, like, holy fuck, those are names right there. Like, Saito should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He kind of shot himself in the foot there.
It happens.
Yeah, you know, getting banned for a year will do that to you. And Vidyanta, I mean, he's just been playing great magic, so that's a hell of a matchup. But Saito wins 2-1. Charlie Murdoch goes up against Saito, and Saito wins that 2-1. So then we have John Stern versus William Huey Jensen. John Stern wins 2-1. Not what I expected. Not what I expected. And then John Stern runs the gambit, goes through Sean McLaren, number 12 in the world, Huey Jensen, Hall of Famer, and 24th in the world, and Tomoharu Saito, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but decided to play really slowly and get himself banned. He beats him 2-0. I mean, dude, that's running the fucking gauntlet.
Yeah, dude, if I put this bracket in front of somebody and said, what tournament was this from? Not saying anything about it. They probably would have guessed, like, Pro Tour Journey in the Knicks or something like that. Like, and to see Stern beat the caliber of those players, I mean, there's no way you can knock the guy. You know, he kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and he had some bad breaks along the way. I forgot, what city the GP was in, but it was standard. I think he lost to Hain in the finals. He was playing Mono Black, and Hain was on Bullet Control, and, like, he would always make it so close, it's so far. But for him to break through, and not like 2-1, like he just went, he clean sweep the finals 2-0. Yes. Like, that's pretty clutch. Yeah, big credit to him.
He went with the, he drafted the Greed Blue archetype. He did get a Fleet Feather Cockatrice, which is just a ridiculous bomb in Limited. There's just, that card is so good. But this is really green based. Really green based. With some good blue cards to, you know, mix in, like a prognostic sphinx.
Oh, got some diabetes there, it looks like. Sounds like over there.
Yeah, well, for Brimley, I got diabetes. If you got diabetes, you need a call.
I seriously need an altered version of this card so bad.
Dude, Wilford Brimley is like my dude. You know, one time I got this cat off the street, and I've had this cat now like 3 years. Now, the cat's name is Nook Nook now, because it just would not answer to diabetes. That is what we named the cat when I first got it. And it was a toss-up between diabetes and Livy.
Nice.
And I was going to kick it every time it rained, but the wife didn't like that one. So I went ahead with good old diabetes, but it ended up, you know, she wouldn't answer to that. So, you know, Huey Jensen anyway. Well, Stern's blue, green deck, very heavy green, kind of going over the top with the Golden Hinds, you know, pushing out big things like, you know, Humbler of Mortals, Golden Hide Ox, Prognostic Sphinx. But I mean, his spells are really nice. You got a Curse of the Swine, Raised by Wolves, Rise of the Eagles. 3-time defeat? How the fuck do you get 3-time defeat out of one pack?
Yeah, if people just ignore it, like, how many other people were in green? Well, Huey was in green.
Huey was in green with black, but and he doesn't necessarily need time defeat in his deck, because he has access to the black side, so.
Yeah, and Viddy's playing red-green in his draft deck, and he probably could use maybe one or two.
I would think.
But he ended up with a Fall of the Hammer, and yeah, it's the only, like, fighting type of, or removal type spells. I mean, he has combat trick, but I mean, Paul DeCarinos, I guess, as well.
Yeah,
but know, he was like a heavy red deck.
When you're running all these really big creatures, like I had already mentioned, the Humbler Immortals, the Golden Hydox, the Fleet Feather Cockatrice, it, just because it has Death Touch, you know, we got to bring that up too. And the Prognostics, Time to Feed really shines in a deck with creatures that are mostly 5/5s.
Yeah, this seems like the best shell for it. It really does.
Yeah.
And it gives you the life and the time that to buy yourself to beat them up. Because you're not a fast deck, right? You're playing green-blue.
No, you're typically like stall early game, get out fatty, and then wreck face.
Right.
Yeah. Hugh Jensen went with the black-green. A few notable cards in the deck would be like Eidolon of Blossom, and he did have some enchantments to really go with it and to power out with that. Aside from that, though, it's very bleh. Alex Majultan, he went with the blue-white, which, you know, let's face facts, he has a Brabaz in here, so I think he went the right way.
yeah.
It's a nice deck. It really is. I mean, he has the Riptide Chimera. The only problem with the Riptide Chimera in this deck specifically is he has like Aquaeus Form, Chosen of Helioid, Mortal's Obscenity, and that? Oh, no. I did see a Nyxborn Triton there. A Nyxborn Shield Mate. He only really has five.
Yeah, he doesn't have the really good ones, like a Stratus Walk would be amazing in that shell, or more Chosen by Heliods, or even, I'm sure the Ordeals would go a long ways as well. You know, you get a couple counters on your guy, and then you bounce it back, and then play it on another guy.
I like Fate Foretold with it.
Oh yeah, that's the blue, when it dies, draw a card.
But when it comes into play, you draw a card too.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I've used it. I have used the Chimera with that, and I've used the Chimera in a blue-red deck that I used Dragon Mantle. You know, it's a draw card every turn for one
exactly.
Deck. Just like, you can't beat that.
No.
But, you know, eh. And then, let's see here. McLaren, he was on the blue-white thing, and his deck is a lot more blue-based than the white-based that we saw in the last deck. Very well. Let's see, we got a Wingsteed Rider, Thassa's Emissary, we got Sigil Starfish. Quarry Colossus. You know, I've drafted this thing and never played it.
Oh, that's the, that's like the Tuck effect, basically, kind of, when it enters play.
Yeah, and it's just the 7 mana cost just chases me away from it.
Right.
You know. Let's see, blue, black from Chris Fennell. This is your archetype of imagination style deck with the, Shipwreck Singers as well. He's got that going on in there. He has a Kraken. The Straits. So yeah, this is a fair deck. Man, there was a lot of Rise of Eagles floating around.
Yeah, double Disciple of Deceit. Have you played with that card much in this format yet?
A little bit. Blue black, I just have to admit, is not my wheelhouse with this format, and I don't typically do well when I play blue black. I don't know why. Like, all the cards are good. I'm good running black red. I'm good running blue red, blue white, blue black. For some reason, I cannot get to work for me.
Yeah, I've tried drafting it maybe once or twice, and it just seems like you need the right cards to fall into your lap throughout the draft. It's not like, oh, I just need, you know, one or two bomb creatures and a time to feed or like generic removal spells. It's like, I need exactly, you know, like a Lash of the Whip or a Sip of Hemlock, and you need all these pieces to come together. So it seems like the format that you can really get a sweet blue-black deck going seems to be Team Sealed, where you have 12 packs and lots of blue and black cards to find all those pieces.
Yeah, it really seems to me with the blue black, as far as I'm concerned, like with a lot of the colors, you could go, oh, I was two cards short of, you know, having the deck I wanted, and you can still do really well with that. You know, you can, you know, win an 8/4 or what have you. But with blue black, when you say I'm 2 to 3 cards short, you're 2 to 3 cards short and you're screwed.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Vidianto, he went with my style deck for this format, which is green-red. Like, I run the hell out of green-red, I'm not going to lie. And this deck is stacked. Holy hell. Purphoros, Sedge Scorpion, Fanatic of Mogus, Courser of Krufix. I can keep going. He has a Blinding Flare, 2 Bolts of Karnos, a Fall of the Hammer, a Hammer of Purphoros. Ooh, he's running Didym. Mainboard. Interesting.
Portent, hey, Honey Badger don't give a shit.
I guess not. Honey Badger does not. And Saito, our other finalist, he went with the red-white quick deck. And he got the Countless Battles, which is just ridiculous. God, I've lost to that card so many times.
Yeah, Double Rise of the Challenge is a sweet trick as well. But a Crone Mastiff, is it really, like, is it worth a 3 of?
Dude,
like,
the card is good.
Wow. I mean, I was just, you know, thrown back because of the mana cost and your power to toughness ratio. But, I mean, Gideon's Lawkeeper was a sweet card in M12, so...
Well, in this type of deck, and especially in this format, what I've come to find is if you're running red-white, like, you got them early game. No question. Turn 4 or 5, though, if they're not dead yet, that's when they can set out one big thing that just stops you. Like, oh, I dropped an Asp. I just basically shut down your game plan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I got to plow through 6 damage, and because of that Asp, I'm not going to be able to get 6. I'm only going to be able to get 5 over 3 turns. And this is hoping he plays nothing else. Well, that what that Mastiff does is it's like, no, that Asp doesn't exist. And right. Now I can get all 6 in a turn because you're not going to be able to block my big guy now. So yeah. It's really good for this deck. It actually is. I've run it a couple times and been quite happy with it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, I thought the mana cost would be too slow, but like you said, if it's really to beat Arbor Colossus, Diabetes Sphinx, and all those things that could block like your nice,
You're not getting through a Sphinx.
Well, you could tap the Sphinx, right? I mean, you have to tap it with its ability, but the ability taps it.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's a good point. Yeah. It seems like in that deck, being a 4-drop's perfect for it. Like at a 2-drop, it's like competing with too many things that you want.
Right.
As a 3-drop, it's competing with way too many things that you want in it. You know, as a 1-drop, it would even be doing that. But come 4, you've already set up your board. Your aggro is ready to really move. And then it's like, okay, now I can start tapping crap down.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense now you mentioned that piece with the curve. So, yeah, all right, that's something good to know if I jump back into the format and draft.
Yeah, well, it works well in the white-blue heroic deck as well. It's like perfect in the heroic decks. It's not as good in like the black-white deck as you would think it would be.
Yeah, like, well, at that mana, wouldn't you be competing with cards like Scholar Vathrios and stuff like that at that point?
Scholar's a 3-drop.
Well, I mean, you have to activate, though. Is it 4?
It's 3 to activate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it's just the fact that, like, in that deck, you want Scholar of Athreus. You want Servants, you know, because they're just going to regenerate and deal damage. Where this card just kind of, it doesn't act as enough of a roadblock.
Right.
You know, and then Chris Murdoch, he went with the black-red deck that just, it's just beats, really. And then he has a Hythonia in there, so that's nice.
Yeah, a little Gary, a little evasion with Mogus's Marauder.
A little take your shit with a Crowing Prescriptor.
Yeah, not that bad. It's a solid, oh, Harness by Force. That card is very sexy. Like, if you want more, multiple, Act of Treason, there you go.
Yeah, Harness by Force.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, all these decks are solid draft decks in the top 8. I mean, can't complain.
No, but you would expect that out of this type of
crew. Oh, yeah.
So, and then we have, you know, might as well go over it because I usually do this for limited. The top 5 cards, because, you know, there's not enough to talk about limited that we actually have to do this. Golden Hind is number 1. Rise of the Eagles is number 2. Eidolon of Countless Battles is number 3. Hubris is number 4, which I don't agree with because I don't think Hubris is nearly as good as they're giving it credit for. And King Makar the Gold Cursed.
Yeah, they're all solid. I mean, would you rather, instead of Hubris,
Voyager's Ed? Yes.
Or Feast of Dreams? That seems like a solid card from Journey into Nyx, right?
Yeah. I just don't like the whole returning all the R's to the hand thing. Like, it just, it never seems to work out the way I need it to work out.
Yeah, it's like a strikeout home run card. Like, in certain scenarios, it might be enough tempo for you to win out, but depending on the board state, to your point, it'd just be miserable because you bounce the guy and they just replay all the stuff.
Yeah, they just decide they're going to reset and you go, okay.
Yeah, like, if it was something like, 3-drop, a Bestowed, Lifelink Eidolon, Bestowed Nimbus Naiad, like, that might slow them up a bit. But if it was like, Hero Varroas, Stratus Walk, Nyxborn Shieldmate, like all your cheap ones, then that card seems terrible.
Yeah, the card, to me, it seems like when they go all in, and they put everything on one creature, and you're like, okay, this, you know, and you're still dealing, you know, minimal damage, and then you need that alpha swing, but they have this huge creature that you can't get past, it's good then.
Right.
But aside from then, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, I probably would have a Voyager's End, or even, I might take a Griptide over that, if I had to choose between the two.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more, auras than just the, bestow creatures, you know what I mean? Right. There's a lot more auras than just that. You don't want to return Ordeals. You don't want to return Dragon Mantles. You don't want to return Fate Foretold. Like, it'll put you in a hole.
yeah,
a lot of times. So it's like, if they're not all bestow creatures on there, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah, I agree there.
All right, well, aside from that, over in Jersey, where the garbage is piled high.
Well, it's the nickname, right? The garbage state?
Yeah, probably not. But we're going to call it that because I know all of my friends who play this game and listen to this show from Jersey will appreciate that so much.
Including my wife, a woman from Jersey.
Including a couple guests that I've had on recently. Oh, well, so over in Somerset, Jersey, not Somerset, PA, because Somerset, PA would have been amazing. Instead, they go to Jersey.
It happened, man.
Yeah, they was playing some Standard, and, I mean, this actually isn't a bad list of people for Standard either. At least two of the names I would expect would still have been down in Atlanta, or at least been in Atlanta. So we have Larry Surreal. That's how I'm pronouncing it. If that's not right, go fuck yourself. Versus Gerard Fabiano. Fabiano wins 2-0. Like, you know, kind of shocking. He wasn't in Atlanta. Aaron Diaz.
He's a New York guy, so he might have just wanted to go back home and then do something near home. It's very possible.
I suppose. I mean, yeah, I could absolutely see that. Aaron Diaz versus Chris Van Meter. Another one that, huh? Okay, but same deal. He's kind of a New York guy. So Van Meter wins 2-0. Ivan Torres versus Charlie Reinhardt. Reinhardt wins 2-1. Jake Gons?
Yeah, good enough.
Okay. Versus Luis...
Calanta?
Sure. Calanta wins 2-0. Reinhardt wins 2-1. Reinhardt over Calanta 2-1. Van Meter over Fabiano 2-0. That's a hell of a semifinals there. I'm sorry. And Reinhardt beats Chris Van Meter 2-1.
And the beard stays on.
The beard continues on. Darn.
So close, yet so far. And I think he was up a game, too, in that finals before dropping it.
So
close.
So all these crazy decks that have just been changed so much by the, new set. Listen to these deck names. Black-white midrange.
Yep.
Black-white midrange. That is exactly what you think it is. Oh, wait. They did add some Banishing Lights.
There's gotta be, oh, there it is. There's the one deicide in the sideboard. I found it.
It's a deicide. Jund Monsters in second place. Jund Monsters. Yep. So I'm seeing big changes here. Big changes. Real shake up to the format there. They don't have nothing. Nothing. Maybe a temple? Is there a temple?
Nope. No black green. No black green temples.
No black green temples. No black green temples. Okay.
We'll find something. I promise.
See, Esper Control and Esper Control in third and fourth. That was Canella and, Fabiano.
There's a Banishing Light in Louise's deck list.
That's not shocking. We have a Banishing Light. And we have
deicide in the sideboard.
We have some deicides.
Oh, my favorite Debtor's Pulpit. Gotta love a Debtor's Pulpit, even though it's not from the last set. But
three Ashiok Nightmare Weaver. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, sometimes you gotta steal a bro, man. Steal one of your opponent's bros.
Sometimes you do. I'm not going to disagree with you. Let's see. Fabiano's list is a little different. He went with a different Planeswalker package and no creatures, where he was going to Elspeth, four Jace Architect and one Jace Memory Adept. And he's a Faded Retribution in there.
That's pretty awesome.
Where were those at the Block Constructed tournament? Ah, never mind.
Yeah, you make a valid point, but I'm sure it's another discussion for another day. But, I mean, it's awesome against the Green-Red Monsters deck, is it not? Because you usually have, like, a couple of bombs plus Domri and or Garrick on the table. And Faded Retribution deals with all that garbage.
Yes, and then we have a Mono Black Devotion. No changes!
Major shakeups.
Major shakeups. Guys, this set has just flipped Standard on its fucking head. Ivan Torres goes with red-green monsters. And again, no changes. So Tess and Tactics, I guess that is a change.
Yeah, you gotta go down to like 12th to find something a little outside the norm.
I know, this is bad. So, but you know, I do want to put this out there. It was a small set. We have blue-white-red control. We have red-white burn. The blue-white-red control, I mean, it's been seeing a little bit of play. It's the Keranos deck.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, I like me some card advantage.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a little different. Like, this is a little different, well, let's go over it real quick. Two Keranos. God of the Storms. Those are his creatures. They're not really creatures.
Just, yeah, I was going to say, it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
It's on the card, right?
Yeah, so it's an enchantment. You are never turning this on. Because the only real way you, well, I guess you could with enough, detention spheres and shit, but, three Elspeth Sun Champion, three Jace Architect of Thought, one Assemble the Legion, three Banishing Light, four Detention Spheres, four Azorius Charms, two Counterflux, a Day Aside, one Is a Charm, three Sphinxes Rev, a Syncopate, a Turn and Burn, a Wear and Tear, four Supreme Verdict, Sideboard of Archangel Athune, Day Aside, Dispel, two Gainsay, one Magma Spray, two Reprisal, a Turn and Burn, a Wear and Tear, two Bramaz, a Jace Memory Adept, and two Anger of Zed'god, and a Mana Confluence.
Yeah. They,
Mana Confluence main board. Yeah.
It's a sweet deck. I like some of the card advantage engines that he's got going on. Like, the Karanos is fine. The Assemble's a decent win condition. Like, I like how he's mixing up a lot of these things. I mean, I myself are more of a miser guy. Like, if you remember, like, the Adrian Sullivan blue-white list where he's mising a bunch of different things, but you can group the cards in the general categories. Like, these are different counter spells. These are different removal spells. Like, I love that kind of a deck. Especially when you have ridiculous card draw and Sphinx's Revelation and like Jace and stuff like that.
Oh, I miss those old school decks where you just flat out had 20 counter spells.
Yeah.
It's just like, no. What are you playing? I'm playing no. I have one creature and I'm going to beat you with it because you can't do nothing about it.
Play a card. I dare you. I dare you. Come on.
Aaron Diaz, he brought the red-white burn deck that has seen a little bit of play. Four Chandra's Phoenix. Four Eidolon of the Great Revel, which confuses the hell out of so many people. Two Chain to the Rocks. Four Boros Charm. Four Lightning Strike. Four Magma Jet. Three Searing Blood. Four Skullcrack. Four War Leader's Helix. Hey! That doesn't hurt you when you play it. And four Toil in Trouble. And that doesn't hurt you when you play it either. Well, everything else hurts you.
If you fuse it, it doesn't hurt you, right? But if you
cast it, doesn't matter. But the converted mana cost on the card can be three or six.
Huh.
So you have that choice. So you, I believe. Now, Frank, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure you will. But I mean, that's the way it used to work. You could choose whether it was three or six. Back when, what the hell was that name of that thing where you could go fetch something out of your, library that cost X amount, and X is equal to the card's casting cost. There's a land. No, there's a land that people use in Legacy that.
Oh, Teleria West?
No, not Teleria. Was it Teleria West? It had a keyword on it.
It had Transmute on it.
Transmute. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Back when the Transmute was out, there was a couple that transmuted for actual mana costs. And I believe back then you could get either or, but I don't know if it's changed since then because Magic rules change.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sideboard of four Fire Drink Crusader, three Banishing Light, two Chain to the Rocks, three Nyx Fleece Ram, and three Peak Eruption. I will say that this deck is closer to what I've been seeing online over the last week, and clearly SCG did not catch up to what's going on online yet. Online is so fast right now that you can't even think about control. Everybody is running under everything. It's just unreal fast. It's kind of stupid, and yeah. So be ready for that upcoming, folks. And if you haven't seen it at your game day, then it's going to show up in your Friday Night Magic here very soon. I've seen some very, very fast lists. Okay, so Legacy.
So they had a real tournament this weekend.
They did. They did have a real tournament. SCG had a real tournament, and then there was the GP. And then, you know, Saturday, they kind of just was like, let's play what we've been playing for the last 6 months.
A charity tournament, kind of? Like, all right, we'll just put this on. It was a big side event, right? It was just one huge side event, and CVM lost
like
in the finals?
Grinder. It was...
All right. As much as I like to rag on it, Standard, I think, is a great format for people trying to get into the game, and they want to get into constructed Magic, and for the people who like to see things change it up over, you know, 3-4 month periods at a time, I think it's fine for that, but, you know, financially, I just can't see myself willing to get into it. So, you know, I think there's pros and cons.
You know what? I'm dipping my toe in, man. I like started building block decks, and I think I'm going to be playing Standard here soon just because I think I need to. It's for the show more than anything.
Yeah, I think it's because we're old fogies and we just love like crazy, ridiculous interactions. Like, you know what? I'll throw an example that what I saw in the Legacy Open that I don't think you'll ever find in Standard. How about that? Something that
fair enough.
I love Magic. So Jeremiah Rudolph, who top four this event. I'm sure we'll get into the top eight bracket in a minute.
Yep.
He's playing an awesome blue-green Cloud Pose deck. And I saw him before he went under the camera round eight, I think. He was playing Sneakacho round seven. Okay? So I finish my round. I walk over. I see him at the top tables. I sit down. There's a whole crowd. I watch to see what's going on. I see the following permanents in play. I see a Blood Moon on the Sneakacho player's side. I see an Ensnaring Bridge on Jeremiah's side. So they're just kind of staring at each other, right?
I'm guessing Jeremiah has zero cards.
Yeah, like zero or one cards. He casts the following. Mind you, there's a Blood Moon in play. He casts Emrakul, the Aeon's Torn, with a Blood Moon in play. A 15 mana spell. He does not play Mana Rocks, and all of his lands that are not basic island are basic, are non-basic mounts.
Yeah, then, so all of his Cloud Post shenanigans is not working.
Tap for one. Then untaps. Then I believe he casts another Eldrazi. I believe it's Kozilek. Draws more cards. Passes to his opponent. His opponent just sits there, does nothing, because he can't attack. Then Jeremiah untaps again. And meanwhile, he's drawing cards the whole while. So he finally draws up to six cards. Attacks with Primeval Titan. His opponent's at two. Other things of note. There's a double Revoker naming Sneak Attack and Jace the Mind Sculptor, both of which are in play. And another Pithing Needle naming Sneak Attack. His opponent casts, before blocks, Through the Breach, with Blood Moon in play still, puts in a Grizzlebrand, okay? Ready to block the Primeval Titan. Before blocks still, again with Blood Moon in play, Jeremiah casts Repeal on the Blood Moon, which unlocks his Caracas, bouncing the Grizzlebrand and winning the game.
Oh my god.
Unfortunately, this was game two in turns.
Oh my god.
Now tell me you can't see the same crap in standard.
You will not. And see, that's part of the reason why I like limited, because no matter how much limited I play,
you don't get the same thing twice.
Right. I will run a card that I've never run before. Somebody will play a card against me that I've never seen played against me. And, you know, it's a trash card. Don't get me wrong. But in the right circumstance, it's a blowout and it works. And you're just like, huh. Well, yeah. You're damned. And, you know, that's the type of things that, you know, Legacy brings. That's the type of thing that Limited brings that Standard, unfortunately, does not. Because Standard does become, you know, more about, I know my deck better than X amount of people, and I'm bad against these X amount of people who are running the same deck because they just have more experience on it.
Yeah, I think there's some Standard formats, though, that it's usually, and it's, I don't think to any surprise, it's when the card pools are the largest, so it's usually like summertime core set,
yeah,
where you have enough interactions to build some really neat decks. Like, I loved playing Rug Pod when Pod was on its way out of Standard. Like, you had so many different creatures in the format, because you had, what is it, 3, 6, 8 sets of cards, you know? I think, like, those formats are really, really sweet and Standard. And like I said, you know, not everybody has, like, the appreciation of the large card pools and all those interactions like we do. So I think it's perfectly fine. And I think, you know what, again, as much as I like the rag on the Standard format, there are enough decks floating around in that format to be kind of worthwhile. Like, it wasn't like Cobblade. Cobblade was, unless you're playing Cobblade, it was a pretty brutal format.
Yeah, I was actually just going to get to exactly what you just said, where it's like, realistically, and, you know, I'm kind of in the same boat, I rag on Standard a lot, mainly just to get under Ryan's skin. But hi Ryan. But the fact is, like, right now it's actually very healthy compared to past Standard formats, like the Cobblade format, like the Jund format of Standard.
Oh yeah, Shards of Alara M11. Oh, yeah.
Like late fairy format, you know, there was about 6 months of fairies where it was either you was running fairies or you was dead.
Yeah, Delver was pretty bad too in its heyday. Blue-eyed Delver.
Right, so I mean there has been, this is actually very healthy in the fact that realistically there are 7, 8, 9 decks that you can run and maybe make a top 8 with, so that's actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, so I definitely don't want to discourage folks from trying to brew up new decks. There's definitely things out there and it's totally worth trying, so especially, man, that Eidolon of the Great Revel, I love, it's Honey Badger card for you, man. Honey Badger don't give a shit.
Yeah. Like, it does confuse people, though. They're like, everything in this deck hits you. And it's like, it does, but it doesn't. It hits other people just as much. And When you don't want it, when you're playing against Jund monsters or green red monsters, you side it out.
Well, and somebody had the cojones to main deck him in this year Legacy Open, and he played against me.
That's a good goddamn card. I'm just gonna say, in Legacy?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, that card's gonna hit 75% of the field?
Yep. How about turn one Goblin Guide, turn two Eidolon of the Great Revel. Go.
Oh, fuck. It's like, if I play something, I take two.
Yeah.
If I play nothing, I'm taking four.
Yep. I definitely want to play this in Modern, too, but I think the better appeal of Legacy, though, is, guess what? Fire Blast doesn't hit yourself.
Oh my god, that is insane. Actually, that card is really, I mean, I'm shocked we don't see more of it in Legacy. Like, I think that that's something that people are going to gravitate towards, especially the Red Burn style decks where, because, you know, it makes Brainstorms brutal.
Yeah, well, I mean, Pyrostatic Pillar was a card, but the problem was, it's an enchantment. So, you're not doing any additional damage outside of your opponent's casting spells, you know?
Right.
Now you have a 2-2 attached, and in Legacy, it's very creature light, so you're gonna be attacking in with that more often than not.
Yeah, that and a lot of the removal is like neg ones.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, so I mean, very good. But speaking of our Legacy, we have Idnir versus Craig Krempels. Craig Krempels wins 2-1. I'm really bad. Idnir does not win just because I love that name.
Isn't it JD Nier?
You know what? It might be. See, here's what's messed up. And just a little behind the scenes for everybody out there. On my computer, for some reason, all of SCG's names are blacked out. So I have to highlight all of them to go over the brackets, right?
Oh, I see.
So the Craig Krempels hides the bottom of the J. So to me, I see Idnir.
Well, how about that? You want me to run off the top 8 for this one?
No, this is my job. I have one job on this show, damn it. Let me keep it. So we have
all yours, man.
And into one, we have Jonah Gravenor.
Jonah Gaynor.
Gaynor. Dude, I see a V there.
It's a Y.
It's a Y. It's a lot of Y. Versus Zachariah Sigmund. And Sigmund wins 2-1. Eli Cassis versus Jeremiah Rudolph. I got that right?
Yep. Huge shout out. Connecticut player. And dude, he's been playing Cloudpo since forever. Like, you know what? Like, Feline Longmore is the high tide as Jeremiah Rudolph as the post. Like, I would put my neck out to say that he's probably the best post player that we have in America. I think he knows his deck. He knows the cards. He's the guy that will play all different variants, even at the local level, just to see what you can do. Like, last Monday, my local store has been playing Legacy, every Monday now. He was trying, like, Rug Post with Grover the Burn Rules and Punishing Fire as, like, a more controlling version of Post. Like, the man can't get off his Cloud Post, man. He can't get off it.
Ah, well, they create upteeth amounts of mana, so. And Jeremiah Rudolph, who's on 2-1-2-0 over Kessels, James Rinkowitz?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He defeats Alex Bertoncini 2-1. I should have Bertoncini on the show.
Well, he may give 2 explorers, and you might let him get away with it. Just be careful, man.
I'll have Frank on with it.
He'll have Frank on the call about.
That way I got a judge. No, I mean, realistically, like, the man has been putting up, and, you know, we all know his past. We all know that, you know, he is a horrible cheater. But realistically, I mean, the man has been putting up Legacy finish after Legacy finish after Legacy finish for a while now. And I don't think anybody out there is really giving him a chance to tell his side of it, even though we all know he cheated.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's definitely a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, he's beginning to clear his name as far as, because you're not going to make a top 8 of one of these, especially when they know to watch you without playing well. And I'm actually half tempted to reach out an olive branch to him and give him a shot to come on and talk to him about, you know, Legacy, because he obviously has a mind for it. But Rinkowitz ends up defeating your buddy Rudolph 2-1.
I know. It was such a sad, sad match to watch on coverage because he was so close. I don't know if you watched any of the Legacy coverage at all.
I did watch a little bit of Legacy coverage because people kept yelling at me saying, you need to switch over that. But realistically, also, there was a limited GP. Where do you think?
Fair point.
Craig Krempels versus Zachariah Sigmund, and Krempels wins 2-0, and Craig Krempels gets him a shiny trophy with a 2-1 victory. And boy, do we have deck lists to go over.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was not your normal thing. It just wasn't. So we have Blue-White-Red Delver winning it all, because that's what Delver decks do in Legacy right now. Like, honestly, there's so many good decks. Why the fuck does Delver always end up number one?
It's just that, like, Delver just has, like, the 51-49 matchup against the field. Like, if you have a good Delver pilot, they'll know exactly what to do in all the right situations. I mean, it has lots of cheap spells. It's lots of really great deck manipulation. I mean, when you're playing 4 Brainstorm, 4 Ponder, I mean, you can easily play lots of Miser cards and even, like, main deck and sideboard. So, you know, I can't blame Delver for the success that it put up. But, you know, I think the other decks in the format really need to start working on ways to beat up on Delver and start knowing how to play against Delver. Because I don't think it's a beatable. It's a beatable deck.
You just got to learn to kill things with 2 toughness.
Yes. Oh, man. I'll give you a story against Blue-Eyed Red, because I played against Blue-Eyed Red. Not this guy, but another Blue-Eyed Red Delver pilot.
What did you run, by the way? Might as well just put it out there because it's there.
Oh, I mean, I love playing creatures in Legacy, so I play 0 creatures in my deck. I play lots of spells and eventually kill somebody with Tendrils of Agony. So I'm an ad nauseum Tendrils player. Shout out Michael Parrish, by the way. He's awesome. He's my kind of guy. You know.
That's because you've only seen him on here. You haven't actually sat down and talked to him.
Ouch, burn.
Oh, no, Parrish is a good dude, man. He really is. So, no, that's cool. How'd you finish?
I went 3-4 draft, but that's because two of my losses were against Merfolk, which I did not expect in the field, and my deck's not really set up to beat up on Merfolk. They're just a really fast deck. Like, you can't ad nauseum against that deck. You have to go passive flames, and even when you have to go off, they have so much permission. Like, yep. not like hard counter spells, but I mean, you have
They do have forces.
Yeah, they have 4 force and like 8 force spikes between Curse Catcher and Daze. It's just very tough to get through their soft permission either. But against Blue Eye Red, so game 1, I go off fairly easy. I discard their key spell and then storm off. Game 2, he boards in Meddling Mage, plays it on curve. What? So you have some familiarity with Ant, right? I'm sure, Angelo.
I'm sorry.
You have some familiarity with Ant and what it's trying to do.
I have great familiarity with Ant.
Okay,
my style of deck, but Lord knows I've played it.
So if you're playing a Meddling Mage against me, what card would you name?
If I was what?
If you're playing Meddling Mage, you want to stop me from casting a spell, what card would you name when you resolve the Meddling Mage?
I would probably, first one, I would think probably I would name Tendrils, or I would name Ad Nauseam, one of those two.
Yeah, those two are fair, or even, I think Infernal Tutor is a really good choice as well.
Yeah, Tutor's a very good choice as well, yeah.
So, like, I would name either Tendrils or Infernal Tutor.
Which version of Ad Nauseam Tendrils are you running?
Regular Ants, just no Burning Wishes, just 4 Infernal Tutor, 1 Passive Flames, 1 Tendrils, 1
Burning Wish is another very good target if you're running that version.
Right. Yeah, there's Burning Ant, there's Tess. I'm sure we can go on a whole episode on Storm and Legacy. But he goes for Ad Nauseam, which, I mean, I had in my hand, but I also had an Infernal Tutor. So I went, okay, fine. Untap, storm off, go for Infernal Tutor, go get Passive Flames, Passive Flames of out of the game. So it's just like, alright, well, I see all your soft counters and you just have to play around soft counters, which I'm surprised a lot of people in Legacy don't do, but against this deck, you gotta play around the dazes and the spell pierces, you know?
It's just like Stifle. Where is Stifle? Play some goddamn Stifle, you know?
Well, Stifle is in the Rug Delver list. I'm not sure why it's in Rug, but not the others.
It just makes no sense to me. Like, everyone's using Fetchlands. Play some goddamn Stifle.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Side tangent.
It's a fair card to play. I'm as surprised as you are. I guess there's no room. Like, but again, there's other sweet deck lists out there in the top 16.
Oh, very much so. I mean, second place we have Shardless Bug, and that's when it starts to get weird.
Oh, you mean awesome?
Yes. We have 12 posts, and these are the creatures. 4 Primeval Titan, 1 Amrical Aeonstorm, 1 Kozilek the Butcher. And I saw, in a game, on camera, the man drops his Ensnaring Bridge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Stalls, you know, plays a Titan, stalls, goes Kozilek, Emrakul, same turn. Candelabra of Thanos, thank you so much.
I know, it's so awesome. I want to play this on Moto so bad, because Candelabras, while they're, 300 in paper, they're only 12 tickets on Moto.
That is
12.
Well, Masters Edition probably printed a lot more of them than Legends actually did.
Fair point. But
so our land base is a very This is a post-deck, folks. It's a forest, two islands, a Bajuka bog, a glacial chasm, four misty rainforests, four tropical islands, one Eye of Ugin, one Karagas. He has two Vesuvas, four Glimmer Post, four Cloud Post. Wait, this is 10 posts.
Well, it depends. They say in uncovered. Depends on how you want to count them. So it could be 10 posts. It could be, if you add Primeval Titan to find posts, that's 14. Map is 17. Crop rotation is 21. So.
Nope, but there's actually only 10 posts in here.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you only need so many posts.
I suppose when you're playing two candelabras, holy Christ, let's just immediately make this an $800 deck. Three expedition map, three pithing needle, four Sensi's divining top, four brainstorm, four crop rotation, two peace, a repeat, four repeal, three show and tell, god damn it Twitter, shut up, two ensnaring bridge in the side, four Phyrexian revoker, Crozian grip, a mind, three mind break trap, three swan song, and two Karns. Why? Because it's post, you might as well have them in there.
Yeah, who said mana's a problem with this deck? Like I said...
Did you not hear me say I saw Kozilek get cast, then Emrakul?
Oh, yeah. Or, like, you play tricks like, all right, well, I will cast the Emrakul, then I'll play Karakas to bounce it, and then cast it again and just go infinite turns on you. Or, like, the repeal trick was amazing. Did you see the repeal trick on camera? I thought that was a...
Repeal. Return target non-land permanent with converted mana call X to its owner's hand. Draw a card. Okay.
So he plays tricks with top. So he'll tap the top to draw a card, but in response to that, he'll cast repeal targeting the top. So repeal will resolve first. Top goes to his hand. He draws a card from repeal. Then the top ability will happen, but because top's not on the field, it doesn't go back on top of your library. You'll also draw a card.
He's just doing the draw a card loop. He's just tapping it. Okay. He's not actually using the one. Oh my god, that's value.
Yeah, and Moments Peace did a ton of work. Like, because you're very creature light, you know, you need a way to buy yourself time to get to the mana to cast your bombs. So, not only does he have the Moments Peace, but he has Glacial Chasm as well, which I'll read for people who might not know what this card does.
Well, it's, before you get to Glacial Chasm, because most people aren't going to know what Moments Peace was because it's not the best card. It is a fog with flashback, folks. That's all it is.
Yep, and it's freaking expensive common on Moto too, but that's a whole nother conversation. So Chasm, so you got two Fogs main deck with flashback. Then you have this land with a cumulative upkeep. Basically, on your upkeep, put an age counter on it. Then you pay that cost for as many age counters that you have. Well, what's the cost? Two life. So first turn, two life. Next turn, four life. The turn after, six. When it enters the battlefield, sacrifice a land. You usually don't care because you run 25 lands. Creatures you control can't attack. Oh man, that sucks. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to you. Now, that is the big one. So, if creatures could attack you, but they're not going to deal any damage, the only things that it doesn't go around would be, like, cards like Tendrils of Agony, Tezzeret Agent of Bolas, things that cause a loss of life, Deathrite Shaman even, that will still happen. But the key thing is, it basically acts like a third fog, and you got four crop rotation, and you got your Primeval Titan to find it. And he was doing that a lot this tournament. He would buy the time with the Glacial Chasm, and then when he's ready to go off, on his upkeep, he chooses not to pay the life, lets the Glacial Chasm die, and then do his thing.
Right.
Great deck. I mean, again, great pilot, he knows his stuff, amazing post player, you know, I'm definitely afraid of playing him usually in a local tournament up here, because, like I said, you know, it's a format where knowing your deck goes a long way, and the man not only knows his deck, he knows how to use his deck against the metagame, so.
You know what's sad? Like, I think my deck is perfect against this deck.
Pox?
Oh my god. I think Pox is great against this deck.
Nice Glacial Chasm. Sinkhole!
Yeah. Sinkhole, sinkhole, sinkhole. Pox, pox, pox. You're fucked, right? I thought so.
Yeah, well, I mean, similar to Pox, you know, he unfortunately lost to a Liliana of the Veil. You know, his bug opponent just laid too many Lilianas for him to deal with, stripping cards and sacking his key from Evil Titans and stuff like that. But I'm really happy for the guy. He's a good guy. I hope that he plays in Providence coming up in, I think, 2 weeks. I hope he goes and crushes that as well. Totally earned this one, so.
Yes, then we have Red White Painter, not Imperial Painter, which is normally why you play red.
fair point.
It's just red, white painter. So what can be in this? We have four painter servant, four simian spirit guide. Okay, that makes sense, kind of, sort of. We have one Koth. What?
Yes, yes.
Koth? In Legacy? Really? Okay. I guess four fours that are creatures and lands are a problem.
Well, I hear it's good when you have Blood Moon.
Yes, it is. Two Ensnaring Bridge. Four Grindstone and a Helm of Obedience. Okay, I see a win con. We have two Sensi's Divining Thought. We have a Trinisphere. I like anything with a Trinisphere. Blood Moon. One Leyline of Sanctity. Two Oblivion Ring. A Rest in Peace. An Enlightened Tutor. Rest in Peace. Helm of Obedience. Grindstone. Those are pieces, folks.
Servants, or, does he have artifact lands? Oh, no, he can't tutor for, Great Furnace or Ancient Den.
No. Two Pyroblast, three Enlightened Tutor, two Red Elemental Blast, three Swords to Plowshares, two Faithless Looting, two Pyroclasm. See, to me, I just want to call them swords, but you can't do that because of the damn swords. But my whole life, that has been swords.
Right.
Sideboard, Ethersworn Canonist, two Magus of the Moon, another Leyline, another Rest in Peace, and a Spirit of the Labyrinth, because who doesn't like saying no? One Pyroblast. You can just win games off of that. Trust me.
Oh, yeah. And you can Enlighten Tutor for the Spirit, which is awesome.
One Shattering Pulse, one more Sword to Plowshare, a Volcanic Fallout, a Wear and Tear, an Emrakul the Aeon's Torn, a Pyroclasm, and a Wrath of God. That says Volcanic Fallout. That is awesome. That's a way to deal with Delvers. I like it.
Screw you, Delver.
Down to this. Go fuck yourself. Okay, so that's two different decks. Then we have Blue-Green Infect.
Oh, that deck came back.
Okay, so we have four Blighted Agent, four Glistener Elf. Dude, this looks like my Pauper deck to start with. Four Noble Hierarch, a Dryad Arbor. Lands, we have Forest, four Ink Moth Nexus, two Misty Rainforest, four Tropical Islands, four Verdant Catacombs, a Wasteland, two Windswept Heats, and a Pendulum. Only one Wasteland?
Does he have Crop Rotation? Yeah, he's got two.
He has Crop Rotation, okay. One Sylvan Library, two Berserk. You just wouldn't let me figure that out on my own. Damn you, John Zelda! Four Brainstorm, two Crop Rotation, four Days, two Fours of Will, four Invigorate, two Stifle, four Vines of the Vastwood, two Gitaxian Probe, one Ponder. This looks so much like my freaking what used to be, because, you know, you're not allowed to run Invigorate anymore. Upper deck, dude. Like, this is insane. Sideboard, two Iron Claw Mirror. Yeah, Iron Claw Mirror. 1/1 for two. When he's blocked, he gets +2/+2. Has Infect, kind of good. A Dismember, two Flusterstorm, two more Force of Will, four Nature's Claim, two Submerge, one Bajuka Bog, and a Caracas. I am going to beat the holy hell out of four fucking people on Twitter. I swear to God. They tagged me into a conversation. My fucking phone is going insane. I'm throwing it into the other room.
Anti-shout out to those Twitter people, whoever they may be.
Yeah, I would check, but I can't. Sixth place, Merfolk. Been a while since we've seen really a lot of Merfolk, but this one is actually a little different. Two Coral Helm Commanders.
That's all right. I mean, that's still a Merfolk card.
It is, but that's not usually one of the lords you're used to seeing. It is a mana sink, though. That's always good.
That's like your 9th and 10th and 11th lords. Like, you know, you're still playing Lord of Atlantis and Master of the Pearl Trident, but...
Yeah, and the three Phantasmal Images are also Lords of Atlantis and Master of the Pearl Trident. It's just a little different to see the Coral Helm, because that's like even more extra. We have a Khosi's Ravager.
That's, I think, a typo. That probably should be a Khosi's Trickster.
I'm thinking you're probably right, because I don't see any way of playing that. Unless you name Elemental with Cavern of Souls.
Or you have Aether Vial on 4.
You're not doing that.
I know, but it's funny making that.
4 Curse Catcher, 4 Lord of Atlantis, 4 Master of the Pearl Trident, 3 Phantasmal Image, 4 Silvergill Adept, 4 True Name Nemesis. Lands, very tidy. 4 Mutavault, 12 Islands, 4 Cavern of Souls. And on Cavern of Souls, you're naming Merfolk, not Elemental.
Yeah, that's surprising. No more Wasteland. That archetype's kind of... It seems like a lot of them are dropping it now.
I don't know why. Spells, 4 Aether Vial, because, like, this deck runs so much better with 4 Aether Vial than any other thing. 4 Days, 4 Force of Will, 2 Spellpierce.
Yep, that's standard. I mean, they drop Standstill, but I think that's perfectly fine, because, you know, I mean, the Standstill, for people who have no idea, it's basically a blue enchantment. Whenever somebody casts a spell, the other player draws three cards. So, like, you have Aethervals dropping your dudes in play, so you can just sit back behind a Standstill when you have Violent play, but, you know.
Yeah, which is nice. Sideboard, very basic. Three back to basics. Four Chalice.
Yeah.
Two Relic Progenitus, a Dismember, two Echoing Tree with one Spell Pierce, one Jitte, and one Lawin Cephalid Empress.
Yes!
I've gone over this card so many times. It shows up in all the Merfolk decks now, but it's just so cool when you say, you can't play blue creature spells. Go fuck yourself. This is your mirror match card.
I want to put this in my freaking sideboard after playing Merfolk twice so badly. I just want to mize a Lawin.
Yeah, right. And back to basics is non-basic lands do not untap during your controller's untap phase. And when you're running 12 islands, that's good.
Yeah, who cares if your Mutavault doesn't untap? If your opponent's not untapping anything, that's pretty good.
So then we have Alex Bertoncini running his basic Esper Death Delayed. He runs that all the time. But then we have Bug Eldrick, not Bant Eldrick. That comes in ninth place, which we've seen the Bant Eldrick a little bit, but Bug Eldrick.
Yeah, this is sweet. You want me to run down this deck list? This is...
Go for it, bro.
All right, so we got some value town here. We got four Baleful Strix and four Shardless Agent.
So let's Bug?
That's Bug right there. Black, blue, and blue.
And it's Shardless, too, so we're in the right spot here.
Yep, four Deathrite Shaman and four Noble Hierarch to power out some ramp. And then, let's see. I see on the other side we got three Natural Order, which lets you sack a green creature to put a green creature in play. What targets, you may ask, we're going to put in here? Crater Hoof seems pretty good when you have a bunch of little dudes.
Crater Hoof is good.
Yeah, we got an Edric, and, Progenitus happens to be green. And then some other value stuff. So if the Hydra doesn't entice you enough, we got some two value Scavenging Ooze, two Vendilion Click. So a nice creature suite. In our spell suite, we got kind of what Bug likes to do. You have card library manipulation and card draw through four Brainstorm. We got some hand disruption with one Hymn to Torak, one Inquisition of Kozilek, three Thoughtseize, an Abrupt Decay for some removal, and three Force of Wills well for some disruption. Off of 21 lands, the only thing of note is really one Gaea's Cradle, but the rest is pretty much fetch land, dual land, mana base. Your sideboard, we got two Nile Spellbomb, because who likes not only exiling graveyards, but you also get the draw card. Two Nullrod. I don't think I've misspoken here. I don't think this is a typo.
No, Nullrod's in there for a reason.
Players cannot play any artifact abilities requiring an activation cost. So no Sensei's Divining Top, no, I'm sure there's a whole bunch.
There is a litany. Do you need me to go over them? I mean, it shuts down so many ridiculous things.
Yeah.
How about the Helm of Obedience combo with Grindstone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's gone.
Aether Vials. How about the entire Affinity deck?
The entire Affinity deck. Exactly. The entire Affinity deck.
Yeah. Heartwood Storyteller, if you want more weird stuff. A 2/3 for 3 mana. Whenever a player plays a non-creature spell, each of that player's opponents may draw a card. I'm sure that's good in some matchups. I have no idea what.
I actually used to run this back in, like, I ran a mono green deck in Future Sight.
Is it like for control or for storm or both?
It's for, I'm thinking legacy wise, it's probably more for storm.
Yeah,
but
you
at the same
your
time, yeah, probably. That makes sense, I guess. Or they don't have Fluster Storm in here.
Yeah,
so it's not
weird.
Like you're shutting down the storm. Maybe it is for just normal control decks.
I mean, you could tutor in Natural Order. I mean, that's perfectly reasonable. But moving on, a card that I am familiar with, Carpet of Flowers, because sometimes you play against Wasteland and you want to say, go fuck yourself, as my good buddy Angelo would say.
Yes.
Where you basically get mana equal to the number of islands your opponent controls. So that's awesome. Engineer Plague, because fuck you, True Name Nemesis, and other tribal decks. Abrupt Decay for more removal. A Thrun, the Last Troll, because, I mean, come on, he's the last troll, man.
Sometimes you just play against blue.
Yep. A Dryad Arbor and a Caracas, which, he doesn't have a way to tutor for Caracas, but, I mean, sometimes you need an out against Sneak and Show, so yeah. I totally see that. So, yeah, it's
kind of odd to see the Dryad Arbor in the sideboard. Like, there's a forest in the main board.
Well, I think it's because you can end step fetch land for the Dryad Arbor, untap Natural Order. If you're playing an opponent that's busy removing all your opponent's guys.
Yeah, but it's at the side instead of...
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, he definitely could have main decked it. Yeah. I agree there.
Kind of awkward. Okay, folks, so that is going to be our tournament coverage for this week. Good week of Magic. I got to touch on my subject. Celso got to touch on his subject. Ryan got to touch on his subject. Oh, wait, Ryan's not here. Damn you, Jimmy Johns.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. Oh, this was a bad idea having Celso on.
Hey, what does that mean?
I can't be serious with you around.
Fair enough.
You've seen the worst of me.
It's all right. We've had quite a few sandwiches together. It's all good.
We have, yes. And even my wife likes you, so that says something.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I told her he was coming on. He's like, she is such a good guy. I'm like, yeah, Celso is. So conspiracy, which, speaking of my wife, you know, thinking you're a good guy. Clearly, while I was playing, you stuck something in her head. Wow, that could have went so many different ways. Thank you for not taking that.
I just wanted to leave that out there.
We went over a few of these cards last week. One that really pops out to me that I do want to speak about, which, by the way, Celso, are you going to buy a couple boxes of these?
I'm going to probably draft in my LGS. I'm definitely going to play it because not only is my LGS cool enough to do scheduled events, but I think they're also putting out there, if you got eight people showing up to the shop that want to draft, they'll just fire it, you know? So as long as people are willing to draft this, they'll just keep going.
That's cool, because this really looks so much fun to me. Like, I am going to buy so many ridiculous boxes of these and just have people over with beers. But
yeah, I want to buy for certain cards from my queue, because I already have a funny cube as it is. Like, adding some of these conspiracy cards, it's really sweet.
You're a horrible person. You have a funny cube. You have a little girl in the funny cube.
No, it's not that bad. Okay. I put playable on cards in there. I don't like the gacha cards.
No chaos orb.
No chaos orb. But carnivorous death parrot, definitely. Oh, cheaty phase, super
of
definitely.
Of course. So how about this Poliano, the High City? Reveal Poliano, the High City, as you draft it. This is a legendary land, rare. The player to your right chooses a color. You choose another color. Then the player to your left chooses a third color. Add one mana to your mana pool of any color chosen as the drafted cards named Poliano, the High City. That's pretty powerful. You're going to get two colors. Like, I mean, the person to your left should just repeat, or the person to your right, no, to your left, who chooses the third color, he should just repeat what the first person said, but you're getting two colors out of this.
Or is third color really specifically, it has to be a color that's not the two chosen ones?
I don't know. Then it doesn't say a different color. It just says a third color. I don't know. I'm going to have to get a judge ruling on that.
Yeah, we need Frank on here. Where are you, Frank?
Frank, help!
Don't eat Jimmy John's, Frank. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it. Fuck Jimmy John's. is there any card on here that you like look at and go, oh my god, I can't wait? And don't go over any of the ones that were, re-released that we know of, like expiration and that, because yes, they're awesome. Let me, you're just loving Lizard Warrior, huh?
The Vanilla 4-2. Man, if he had some sort of an ability, I'd probably consider putting him in there, but 4 is kind of a little expensive.
That's
let's see.
Good, flavor text.
Yeah, it's got good definitely has good flavor text. Let's see. There's some really cool ones. Like, I would draft some Grudge Keepers and with a lot of Will of the Council cards. Whenever players finish voting, each opponent who voted for a choice you didn't vote for loses 2 life. That's pretty sweet. And you still get a 2/1/2. I mean, that's a playable card. Yeah. Let's see.
Deal Broker's kind of nice, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. DAC, I'd like to play around with, but that's Reconstructed, so I won't go get into that. Yeah, or Vintage even.
Vintage is going to be insane. Like, there's not even a question of that, but I still wouldn't mind stealing Jits.
Oh, that is pretty
and Batterskulls. I'm going to commandeer your Batterskull with a DAC Faden. Dude, like, this, like, is anti-Delver tech, you know? Just, I'm going to, you know, Stoneforge Mystic this out, and I'm going to take it.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, I don't know if you got to see the Wizards video that they put out there.
Oh,
where
yes.
So, like, I kind of want to draft the BDM deck where I'm ramping cards like Elvish Aberration and other ramp spells. I want to play a freaking Palaka Worm so bad. Like, it's in my queue already. Like, I just want to...
I've drafted Palaka Worms.
I think it's so awesome.
Oh man. But that's, I think that's going to be our conspiracy talk for this week, because there's just not enough of it out there yet for me to really go crazy into it. But
yeah, we need to get some stories. Like, we need to draft it and get some funny ass stories to bring back.
Oh, I'm definitely, I know there's already like 4 boxes going to Portland, and I plan on bringing 2 more on top of that. So Portland is going, I'm going to have so many stories from Portland about this, because let's face facts. Me, Kevy, and Slick ain't making it to the convention hall.
That bad, huh?
You've seen me with Slick.
I know.
Now add Kevy to the mix.
But you're trying so hard to actually not only get to the tournament center, sign up, and actually play a couple rounds.
We're going to try, but I'm realistic about my expectations. We did have, and this is why I have my brother from another mother on here. Vintage Masters was released. Oh my god, the stories we can tell about these cards.
Oh, so many cards.
So many cards. So John, let's each pick one from each color and just rant about it for a while.
Oh man, okay. That's like putting me in a freaking room full of cookies of all various sorts. This is not going to end well.
One. So in white, what card just jumps out at you and just goes, I'm a horrible person, I love this?
It's gotta be balance, right?
Well, I mean, it's Vintage Masters, you're a horrible person just because you're playing any of these cards, but yes, balance.
Well, it's a tie. Alright, it's a toss up. Either balance.
Or the one I'm gonna say, Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. I want to draft White Weenie. I don't even know if there's enough White Weenie cards in here to make it work, but, like, oh hell, there's a 1-1 for 1. I'll draft, like, 10 Benevolent Bodyguards and then cast an Armageddon and win the game.
Oh, man, I can remember actually playing with Imperial Armor way back in Weatherlight, and the card was such a beating.
Yeah, or like, I mean, there's cards that I've played in a Commander or an EDH. Like, I've played Gerard's Battlecry in my Silly Bear deck. Giraffe is actually a really sweet guy to play with lots of equipment. Like, yeah, I have all these swords on it, and I'll give pro whatever your guys are an attack.
I just saw what you was talking about. The White Weenie deck, Balance, Armageddon, and just think about this, Spirit Mirror.
Oh my god. We're horrible people. Well, there's Piana Nomad Captain. That's a White Weenie card.
You draft those 4. That's like, that can put you ahead. I mean, you get a Sultari Trooper out early. You get, you know, Pimar out, and just, that's just like, okay, I need to reset the game. Oh wait, I have this stupid Spirit Mirror before I Armageddon shit. Oh my god, that's so mean.
Yeah, okay, that's, we're gonna make it happen. Get some Mock Pearls to go with it. I'm in.
Oh my god, Karmic Guide. My god, I can go over every one of these cards, and I promised myself I wouldn't.
Parallax Wave, yeah, Exile even, like, that's still a removal spell. Removal.
Yep. Dude, I have drafted me some Exile.
Yeah, but,
I mean, that card, originally, what was that? Original set, was that Ice Age?
With Exile?
Yeah.
I wanna say, was it Alliances? No, it wasn't that far back.
No, I want to say it was Ice Age.
Oh, yeah, it was Alliances.
Holy fuck. I must have drafted it in the cube, because I know I've drafted it multiple times. Unless I drafted it in 6th edition, which is possible, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, blue.
Let's see, blue, I want to say, oh, whoops, my bad. Or is it, there can't be 3. Oh, that's conspiracy. Ha! Let's try again, shall we? Too many freaking tabs. Blue, we're gonna go with the blue, Vintage Masters cards. Oh, jeez.
So much money in blue. Just hand over fist cash.
Recall, or, I mean, it seems like you can pull off some storm cards to brain freeze people out of the game. Like, I'd play brain freeze deck if the cards are there. You have Cloud of Fairies.
Logic.
Yep. Oh, fact or fiction, man? If you listeners haven't had a boner while playing a Magic card, play a fact or fiction.
Or play Control Magic. It's the same thing as far as hard-ons go.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to take your frickin', I'm just going to randomly pick a good creature. Oh, Palancron. I'm going to take your Palancron.
Yeah, or a High Tide with Palancron. That's an absolute beating.
Oh my god, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait. I'm evil, folks. You just don't understand. Morphling isn't as good as it used to be.
It's still solid, though, for a limited department.
Yeah, but old stacking rules? Oh my god, yeah. Morphling was fucking unbeatable.
That's true. Or even like Storming with Mind's Desire, that is absolutely insane. Like,
just they put Paper Whale in.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, there's a lot of these untapped land effects. Let's see. There's Frantic Search. There's Palancron. There's,
Powers.
Yeah. There's Cloud of Fairies. There's something there. I really think there's something there. I mean, hell, I'll even be happy beating the crap out of somebody with Killer Whale. I'm just going to put that out there.
So here's the question, and I'm going to be straight up. If you get some power and you get an upheaval in the deck, if you wanted to win, which one would you take?
If I have power or upheaval.
Yeah, but you want to win. You're playing for money here. You want to win.
Is this pack one, pick one, or do I know a few cards?
I'm just going to say pack one, pick one. And this is a premier event, and you're playing, and you're in the top 8 draft.
You know, upheaval, you need a couple other cards. Like, if I was picking upheaval, I would have to commit myself to a fairly narrow archetype. Like, I would love to get some ramp cards in green. Hopefully some power comes around my way to play some things out fast, or a Dr. Teeth, a little Psychotog. Like, I need a couple cards to really make upheaval totally worth it.
Right. You want a few Cloud of Fairies and.
Yeah. But I think upheaval in that draft, if it's pack one, pick one, I feel like that card could possibly wheel. So.
Really?
It could. But if somebody pack one, pick one opens, is Harpy to spring in the set? I'm sure it is.
Probably. I haven't really gone over the full set yet. Like, I wanted to be as crazy with this as I possibly could. Turnabout.
Yeah, if there's Heartbeat or something along those lines, like, they would snap pick this up. So, I'm gonna play it safe and take the power, cause I know that I can use that as mana for any sort of deck that, even actually, hell, I'll use it as colorless mana too, if need be. I would take the power, not because it's the money.
I love how that when I say power, you just immediately was like, okay, it's gonna be a Mox, it's not a Time Twister.
Okay, well let's see. Alright, if we're gonna compare...
If it's a Mox, I probably take the Mox because that ramp is so good.
Okay, so let's see, there's Time Twister, Time Walk, Recall. And am I missing something?
Lotus, five. Which is mana.
Yeah. Well, I put Lotus in the same pool as the Moxen. So
okay,
it's really,
so that's
better?
Really what we got.
Okay, so I would upheaval or time walk. I would take upheaval.
I would too.
Time. Oh, geez. Upheaval versus Time Twister is spicy because they both ask you to play a certain archetype. I think I'd be safer playing the Upheaval because you can still even play it on curve, float a bunch of mana anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the last one? Oh, Recall.
I think there's just no question there. Recall is more powerful than a Moxen in my eyes. In the right deck, I mean, draw 3 cards for a blue, okay?
Yeah.
I think I can do that.
I'd splash just to play a freaking Recall.
You know? It says draw 3 cards. Mm-hmm. Okay, so black.
Ooh.
Black is looking good, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Just, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, and I'll let you talk about whichever one you want.
Go for
Apple,
it.
Animate Dead, Baleful Force, Cabal Ritual, Carfinage, Chainer's Edict, Choking Sands, Krovax the Curse, Cruel Bargain, Dark Hatchlings, Dark Ritual, Dolphy Mercenary, Death's Head Buzzard, Demonic Tutor, Drake's Town Forgotten, Expunge. Forgotten is from, Conspiracy, so. I don't know how good that is. Fallen Askarai. Famine.
Famine. Not Feast or Famine. Famine.
Famine. Oh, my God. 3 damage to you. Never mind. Fledgling Djinn. Hymn to Torak. Icarid. Kezzedrix. How do they not have Visadrix in here if they're going to have Kezzedrix in here?
For some weird, sick reason, they think Kezzedrix is playable? I don't know.
Laquatis Champion. Living Dead. Lurking Evil, Mesmeric Fiend, Nature's Ruin, because green things need to die. Necropotence, Nightscape Familiar, Paralyzed, man, I mean, that's old school there. Phyrexis Deviler, Predatory Nightstalker, Putrid Imp, Reanimate, Recurring Nightmare, Reign of... Sarcomancy, Scourge Familiar, Spinal Graft, Tendrils of Agony, Tyrant's Choice, Urborg's Uprising, Vampiric Tutor, Viscera the Dreadful, Yawgmoth's Bargain, Yawgmoth's Will. Dude.
I think I just popped a few boners. Not one. A few. Many.
Okay, so if you open a blue rare, or you open a black rare, if they're half-decent rares, you've gotten your tickets back, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so. Like, the only trap I want to point out to the posse is Necro.
Yeah,
like,
take Necro.
Yeah, it's
only
it's
take a, Necro if you plan on building that goddamn deck later.
Yeah, it's a good card, but it's a very tricky card. Like, you really have to build around that card to make it work.
It's like, not a draft card. It is a constructed card. Don't draft it.
Yeah, like, if you want that kind of effect, draft the Yogg's Bargain. Do that, you know?
That's better. Dude, but, it's just insane. I mean, recurring nightmare? Really?
Double tutor! Demonic tutor and vampire tutor. Ridiculous!
Yeah. Dude, blue-black is going to be strong.
Oh, I want to play blue-black storm so bad. So bad. I mean, you have...
I just want to play blue-black control and just, you know, fuck you. Just yeah. No. Counterspell's in there, man.
Work up, like, turn one, they play a land. Turn one, you go dark red choking sands. Screw you. Go
yeah, fuck no you. Pox in here, though, man.
No pox, I know. They have smallpox, though, right?
No smallpox. No poxes.
Really?
No poxes.
Or, like, you know what I would pack one, pick one, and have a blast with? Recurring Nightmare.
Yes.
So many stupid things you could do with that.
It's just mean.
It's a legacy card. People play it. Oh, not legacy, yeah, it is a legacy legal card, isn't it? It's just not Commander.
No. Reanimate, it's... like, that's a strategy, for real. They have Animate Dead and Reanimate. This is a strategy.
Yup. Reign of the Pits.
I've never gotten to play with that.
Another tip with drafting these kinds of sets, shadow creatures are very good.
Yes.
It's just unblockable. Like, what's the shadow creature in black that we got? Oh, Dothy Mercenary. Mm. That's perfectly fine.
Chainer's Edict, Choking Sands.
Mesmeric Fiend, like, do a little brain maggot type work, a little disruption.
Oh my god. Dude, yeah, I really can't wait to just draft this set. I mean, we've only gone through three of the colors. So let's move to red. I should probably do that again, huh? Just say them all.
Just go for it.
Aftershock, Beetleback Chief, Burning Zhiny, Burning Wish.
Wow. Like, Wish. All the fun you could do with that.
Get those. Draft them if they come to you just because you plan on building a legacy deck. Just trust me on this. Chain Lightning, Chaos Warp, Chartreuse Cougar, Click Slither, Crater Hellion, Falter, grab those. Fire Blast, grab those. Flame Tongue Kavu, Flowstone Hellion, Gamble, grab those. Giant Strength, yep. Goblin Commando, Goblin General, Goblin Goon, Goblin Lackey, grab those. Goblin Matron, Goblin Patrol, Goblin Pile Driver, grab those. Goblin Ringlinger, yep. Goblin Settler, Goblin War Chief, Goblin Hulk, Kravax Torch.
Oh, can somebody say Channel Fireball? Cause I can't.
Channel is in the set! Kindle! Lightning Dragon, Lightning Rift. Oh man, I used to have so much fun with Lightning Rift.
Astro Slide's in here.
Slide is in here. Like, you could, I don't know if you can draft it, but you could get a good portion of it. Orcish Lumberjack, because I don't know why that's in there. They might as well put fucking Org in there. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of the Lumberjack. Pillaging Horde. Lumberjack is a decent mana fix, but.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing some sort of stompy, like, if you were gonna ramp Lumberjack into a Lightning Dragon or something like that, but that's still a little pushing it.
Yeah, Reckless Charge, Rites of Initiation, Rourke's Blade Wing, there's a good card to Lumberjack into. Scourge of the Throne, yeah, that's a 6-5 for, 6 with Flying and Haste, just wanna point out Rourke's. Rourke's is good. Skirk Drill Sergeant, Skirk Prospector, these are goblins. Solar Blast, Spark Spray, Starstorm.
Oh, that's a sweet card.
Yeah, that cycle. Sulfuric Vortex, Wall of Diffusion, Wheel of Fortune, World Gorger Dragon.
It's
not as impressive as Black and Blue was.
May I note that they are putting Gold Gorger Dragon and Animate Dead in the same set.
They are in fact doing that.
I'll throw out the interaction for the folks who may not be aware. The dragon says, when it comes into play, remove all other permanents you control from the game. Well, that seems shitty. You can put a 7-7 in, but you get all rid of all your other crap. But
Flying Trample, though. I mean, we have to think about this.
Fair point. When it leaves play, return all the removed cards to play under their owner's control. Okay. Well, Animate Dead picks up a card in the graveyard, puts it in play, and you basically slap the Animate Dead on top of it. But if, I believe if the Animate Dead leaves play, you have to sack the creature, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. So, Animate Dead, Dragon comes into play. Dragon comes into play, says, get rid of all your crap. You get rid of all your other crap. The dead is gone. Dead says, hey, go back in the graveyard, you. Oh, Dragon's out. Bring all your crap back in play. Then Animate Dead brings the dragon back in. Rinse and repeat. Well, okay, that's cool. you're doing something infinitely. Well, in the meantime, all your lands come into play untapped, unless you have, like, come into play tap lands or whatever. You just keep floating mana all the while.
And then you play your Creative X Torch.
Yep. So, combo.
Oh, it's so ignorant. Armor of Thorns in green. Arrogant Worm. Basking Root Walla.
That's the thing.
Berserk.
That's a better thing.
That's a much better thing. Blastoderm. That's the thing. Brindle Shout. I don't know why that's in there. Don't ask me. Channel.
Yeah.
That goes with that thing we was talking about earlier, the torch. Claws of Wirewood. Deranged Hermit.
Yeah.
Deranged Hermit. Sweet. Desert Twister, because you just need to kill something. Dream Pod Druid. Elephant Guide. That's kind of cool that they got Elephant Guide in here. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, it's solid. You get plus three, plus three, and you have 3/3. That's not bad.
Yeah. Elvish Aberration. Hey, Celso, do you remember him? Urnham Djinn.
Forests. Who plays forests in decks that play Urnham Djinn? Seriously. Like, what? Are you crazy? You could put this in a deck with forests?
No. You just don't. But he's a 4/5, and he's a djinn, and Eureka.
Yeah, they got
the card Eureka, folks. The card.
Oh my God! Do we have Eldrazi? I know I'm cheating and seeing if we have any, but
let's see. We have Fast Bond.
Nope.
Findhorn Elves, because who cares? Gaia's Embrace, Genesis, Giant Mantis, Gigapede, Grizzly Fate, Hermit Druid.
Oh my!
Oh my! Jungle Worm. We have Tusker. We have Voreen. Those are Crozen style. We have Nature's Lore, Norwood Priestess, Nostalgic Dreams, Oath of Druids. Dude, I get to build oaths online.
No.
Penumbra Worm, Provoke, Realm Seekers, Regrowth, Roar of the Worm, Raphelos.
Yes. That's a ramp card.
Yes, it is. It's one hell of a ramp card. Saffronwing Burst. Silvos Rogue Elemental. Because, you know, why not have an 8/5 that can regenerate? That's kind of unfair. It's a good card to follow Raphelos with, though. Let me tell you. Simeon Grunts.
Oh, yeah.
Sudden Strength, which is a giant growth with a draw card on it. Survival of the Fittest. Damn it, why has that got to be banned and everything?
Thanks, Caleb.
Yeah, Sylvan Library. Symbiotic Worm. Tangle. Tribute to the Wild, Wild Mongrel, Yavimai Elder.
Oh my God. I want to play a Survival Recurring Nightmare deck so bad. Uh-huh. So bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or Oath.
Oh, dude, I just, the fact that I can now build Oath online, because I don't have any Oaths. I don't even know if they were any of the Masters editions. I haven't looked, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Nope. Okay. It was an Exodus. That's about it. But was Exodus on Moto at all?
I think they've re-released it a couple times. You know, as like the funny drafts that they like to do once in a while.
Oh, throwback draft.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious. I'm doing a little price check on this guy.
Go for
Come
it.
Come on. Oath.
While you're doing that, I will go over these multicolored. We have Aether Mutation. What is Aether Mutation, you ask? Good question. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Put X 1/1 green sapperling creature tokens into play, where X is its converted mana cost. Hint, you're doing this to your own creatures.
Yep.
Hint. Armadillo Cloak, because it's an armadillo cloak. Baleful Strix. Yes, we can now do that. Bassandra, Battle Seraph, Blazing Spectre, Brago, Dak Fade, Dax Duplicate, Death's Grasp, Death Reap Ritual, Edric, Spymaster of Trust, Fires of Yavimai. With the cool new art.
Yeah, that's sick. I'm excited to play some red-green stompy.
Oh yeah, I'm all about some Fires. For those who don't know, Fires is basically, it's +2/+2 when your creature comes into play, so it's like a toned-down Xenagos, and if you've ever drafted Xenagos in a green-red stompy deck, you know what we're talking about. Goblin Trenches, Grenzo Dungeon Warden. A lot of these are conspiracy cards that I legitimately don't know how good they are. Magister of Worth, Merchester the Black Rose, Prophetic Bolt. Hey, Ryan, you can finally find out how good Psychotog is.
Oh my God. Yeah. So like, if I dared to pick up the pack one upheaval, I really want to see Psychotog so bad.
Yes. I hope they keep it at uncommon too.
Oh, you know what? I would see Psychotog in the Reanimator shell. Like, that's just it's an outlet.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yes, it is.
So imagine this, right? You play your turn 3 Psychotog, and you're like, okay, cool. You have Dr. Teeth or whatever. Oh, end step. I'm going to pitch Visara, untap, reanimate. Yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, I love, dude, when I sold a lot of my cards, like most of my cards, including a lot of my legacy staples, I kept my Psychotogs.
Yeah, Dr. Teeth is just a really cool card. It really is.
I mean, I have four of them. I'm not getting rid of them. Reviving Vapors.
The memories.
Selvala, Explorer Return, Shivan Worm. Remember when all the dragons were Shivan?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, a Spiritmonger. I remember him.
That's the rock for you.
Yeah, when you're running green-black, you run Spiritmonger.
Yep.
Six for five that green regenerate. Yeah, I said that.
There's the other original rock card in here, too, somewhere. Deranged Hermit. That was one of the original creatures as well.
Okay, so we have these artifacts here. We have Ankh of Mishra. Ankh is good. Like, this is not a joke. Ankh is good. Especially in limited. Like, I can imagine playing this in limited for two mana, just like, okay, every time you play a land, just eat two. And a goblin, like, if you draft a goblin deck with Ankh, that's kind of unfair.
Yep, aggressive decks love this kind of effect.
Yes.
I'm surprised when you have goblins, you have Ankh. I'm surprised they didn't give you Zozu.
Yeah, good point. Can't win them all. We have Lotus, as we know. We have Chimeric Idol.
That's a thing, I guess.
Why the hell would you pick a Chimeric? Okay, don't play Chimeric Idol. Like, seriously, don't play Chimeric Idol. Unless you're playing it in an Armageddon deck, then that's absurd.
Well, what's more of a head scratcher? The Chimeric Idol or the card next to it sitting in a bottle?
Bottle at Mythic? Like, come on, man. How many cards does this shut off except other cities of in a bottle?
Hey, sometimes you need to shut off Ali from Cairo. I mean, or Abu Jafar, or...
Yeah, yeah, okay. Coercive Portal, which is a conspiracy card. We have Cursed Scroll.
That's a card.
Oh, that's just, it's a Cursed Scroll. Oh my god. Memories. Flowstone Sculpture. Ivory Tower.
Not bad. I mean, that's a good control card.
EDH Flayers. Karn Silver Golem. You might want to pick one of these up. Oh, and then LED has been reprinted.
Thank you.
Maybe that'll finally bring the price down on Lion's Eye.
Well, it's already in Mach Promo, so it's come down from 100 to like 50-ish. So,
it's all the way to 50?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's kind of crazy, because I know LED was stupid.
Right.
Mana Crypt.
Yeah.
Mana Crypt. Wow. Mana Prism, that's good fixing. Mana Vault.
Better fixing. Or better ramp, sorry.
Master Core.
Solid.
Solid. I mean, in his day, he was the man. Memory Jar, because that's fair.
What are you? Perfectly fair card. I mean, it says each player. Each player does something.
Okay.
It's a metric, right?
No. It's like, I won, you haven't played a land yet. Go fuck yourself. Yes, this can happen with Memory Jar, folks. Go back and just look at some coverage and some write-ups. We have all the Moxen.
Yeah.
Yes, Ruby, Sapphire, Pearl, Jet, and Emerald. The good Moxen, not these ones that have come up since. Disc! Nevermills Disc.
Yep.
Null Rod.
The Anti-Mox.
Yes. Predator Flagship. I was kind of upset that we didn't have the Weatherlight as well. Okay.
Flavor Fail.
Ring of Gix.
Huh. I'm surprised they printed this and not Icy Manipulator.
Yeah, I probably would rather have Icy. Skull Clamp, because that's fair, too.
The art is sick, though. I mean...
It is really cool, but that's not fair. And then Smokestack, because, you know, who doesn't like running stacks? That's actually a fun legacy deck that I used to like playing, so by all means, get your stacks.
Yeah, I wish there were... with all these cool artifacts, why did they not print Tezzeret Agent of Bolas, or even Tezzeret the Seeker?
Soul Ring.
Okay.
Sphere of Resistance.
It's not bad.
Sphere, it's not a Trinisphere. We have Shu Qi.
Weird.
Legends people, you gotta go way back to find Snake Man. Thopter Squadron. Time Vault.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I can remember this back in the day. Some Visions cards here that we used to play with quite often. This was a four of. Triangle of War.
Yep.
Sacrifice Triangle of War and two. Choose target creature you control and target creature an opponent control. Each creature deals damage, an amount of damage equal to its power to the other. This was the original fight card.
Yep.
This is where fight came from. Triangle of War. And we used to run four of this, like, every time. So much fun. And then these lands. Oh, these lands. These lands. Holy fuck. Let's just start with Ancient Tomb.
Yep.
That sees a lot of play. It's, guys, honestly, seriously, this is no joke. If you want to play Legacy, you need to buy these cards. You need to draft it. Because these lands, every one of them, for the most part, there is a set of, I believe these are going to be commons, that aren't really playable, but everything else is. Bad River, that's one of those commons.
Yeah, why did, I guess, like, you can't jam all the money into the set, so, like, these are your fetches that they needed to put in there for better or for worse. I don't know. Yeah. Tough call.
Tough call. But you can get a Badlands with it.
Yep.
Baron Moore, Bayou.
Yeah.
Bazaar of Baghdad.
Oh, man. Legacy, or Vintage Dredge. There you go.
Ooh. Caldera Lake.
Yeah. Fixing.
Fixing. Flooded Plain. Mm-hmm. Forgotten Cave. These cycling ones, like Baron Moore and Forgotten Cave, these are very playable in this format, trust me.
Yep.
Grand Coliseum.
Fixing.
Fixing. Grasslands. This is one of those fetches that aren't as good because they come in tapped. Mm. Keldon Necropolis. Speaking of Keld, do you remember Meraxes of Keld? Meraxes of Keld should be in this set.
Oh, the guy that
was so many muscles. He had muscles on top of muscles. Like, it was just like, oh my god, was that dude huge.
It was like Bane. Before, like, Bane became a mainstream character from Batman people knew about.
Yeah, he reminds me of the roided out WCW wrestler from way back in the day. What the hell was his name?
Oh, you mean all of them?
Bagwell? No.
Bagwell?
Yeah. I don't know. The dude who would, like, no, Big Papa Pump. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Buff Bagwell, I think.
No, I think Buff Bagwell is someone else.
Oh, really?
Because Buff Bagwell is now, it was a Steiner brother is what I'm talking
about. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Buff Bagwell is now, he goes and, like, he sleeps with women for money.
Scott Steiner. There you go.
Steiner. Yeah, okay. Kajorian Outpost.
That's a throwback card right there.
Yes, that is. That is nice. Lake of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who's ever played with the Lake of the Dead knows just how much fun sacrificing your swamps is.
Let's see. Turn one swamp. Turn two, or turn one land. Turn two land. One of them just has to be a swamp. Turn three, Lake of the Dead, float the swamp mana, sack that. Oh, yeah, you need to play two swamps. Sack the other swamp, Visar of the Dreadful. Go.
Yep. Library of Alexandria.
That's a card.
Yes. Lonely Sandbar. Mishra's Workshop.
That's a better... Oh, no. Maybe not better. They're both awesome cards. Mishra's my kind of card.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn one, Workshop Trinisphere. Oh.
That's just so not fair.
What do you mean?
It's just not, but I love me some Trinisphere, so I'll go with it. Mountain Valley, Pine Barrens, Plateau, Rocky Tar Pit, Salt Flats, Badlands, or I'm sorry,
Savannah.
I'm looking at art, I'm sorry. Scabland, Scrubland, Secluded Steppe, Sky Shroud Forest, Strip Mine.
Yeah.
Taiga, and oh my god, one of my favorite cards ever. I have so many freaking Thawing Glaciers, it's unreal.
Yeah, that is a magic card.
Oh, that's beyond a magic card.
All the memories.
Thawing Glaciers. Just, yeah, I'm never going to miss a land draw. I hate to break it to you. I'm just not going to miss it.
But the Delirian Academy, which is next to it, is an even sweeter magic card.
Yes, it is. It's
really fair, right?
Yeah. I have no problem with Academy because it forces you into it like an archetype.
That's true.
Tranquil Thicket, Tropical Island, Tundra. It works really well in that archetype, but it does force you. Underground Sea, Volcanic Island, and Yava Maya Hollow.
That, I think, is going to cause a lot of problems for people, too. Like, that's strong land.
Generate anything?
Yeah, try removing that.
Yeah, that's what you need your strip mine for.
I'm kind of surprised, though, that, I mean, you know, I get it. For some financial reasons, they didn't want to put all the sweet lands in here. But, like, instead of Sky Shroud Forest, why couldn't we just have Yava Maya Coast? You know, like, why do we need slow dual lands like that? You know what I mean?
I think it's because they needed to put in... Well, okay, you put in those dual lands, and that's your fixing that's going to be at your uncommon slot or your common slot. Where okay. You're okay taking those, you know what I mean? Like, it's not bad. Is it as good as an actual duel? No, but your actual duels are going to be at your rare.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's completely fair to say, look, we're going to give you two different types of duels where, you know, one's a little easier to get than the other, and you guys are going to have your fixing. And it doesn't matter because everyone's going to run black-blue anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
Dude, black-blue looks good.
Oh, yeah. Or I would play that or, like, a workshop deck. Like, workshop Delirian Academy deck.
Yep, I can see this.
Although I can't fling freaking Slash Panthers at people, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, no fling.
If I get a Karn, though, Karn is still be pretty sweet.
Yeah. Dude, if you get a Karn, though, you just go artifacts. Like, just mono it out.
Yeah, like, I want to get all these, like, non-creature artifacts and start animating them and beating people with it.
Because that's fun.
I see your Moxen over there. That should be a creature.
Yeah. That should be a creature. It just should be. So, some N15 stuff, because we have to move on, because we literally can talk about that until 2 in the morning.
Fair point.
So we'll go to M15 stuff. There, you know, Mythic Spoiler has, you know, kind of snuck some things out there, and there's been a couple things from Wizards like Soul Zendikar that has been thrown out there. The Souls look really cool. There's only two of them that's been spoiled thus far. One is Soul of Ravnica, and that is blue. And one is Soul of Zendikar, and that is green. So I'm thinking white should be Soul of Dominaria. Am I right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Black should be Soul of Yawgmoth.
Ooh, yeah.
Or Phyrexia.
Cool. Yeah.
Soul of Phyrexia. I can see that in black. And red would be, now I'm going to show old school there, but I think it should be Keld. But it won't be.
Or maybe they'll be like Soul of Tarkir and kind of prelude to what we're going to see.
Or Zendikar. No, yeah. It can't be Zendikar.
Well, Green Zendikar.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised. Like, I wonder where they're going with all these old sets. Like, when I saw Soul of Zendikar, I was like, maybe they're, like, hinting at something. But when they put Soul of Ravnica in there, too, yeah, it's like, kind of Yeah. Are we just doing, you know, Ode to Planes, I guess? Who knows? Or I wonder, could white be Soul of Mirrodin?
It could be, but Mirrodin's black now.
Oh, yeah,
Mirrodin is Phyrexia.
Yep, Phyrexia's one.
So, I mean, there's a few cards here that really are cool looking. I do like the Ulcerate for a black. Target creature gets -3/-3 until end of turn, and you have to pay 3 life. I think that's a very fair black ability.
Yep, I think so as well.
And, you know, I always look at these sets from a drafter's perspective, so a card like that jumps out at me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. There's some interesting ones. I'm sure you went over a few of them already, but like, I really like the cycle of, anthems that they got going on. Was it the Paragons, I suppose?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all 4 mana for 2/2s, but that's fine because all your other creatures of the same color are getting a buff. And if you're drafting, roughly half your creatures should be that color. And I think they all give pretty good abilities. Like, they're all relevant. I mean, sometimes you're defensive in white and you need the vigilance. You know, blue for flying and evasion. Black is Death Touch, which I think is good as well.
I think that's the most powerful one because a lot of your blue cards are already going to have flying. A decent amount of your white is going to have vigilance, but if not, I mean, vigilance doesn't do shit against a death touch creature or a flying creature most of the time.
Yeah, or I like the green one, because sometimes you get...
What was
like,
red?
Red is haste.
Okay.
And then green is trample. And
That's pretty big as well. Trample and death touch are the two that jump to me.
Yeah, because sometimes green, you're just going to get big, stupid vanilla creatures, and sometimes you need to punch the damage through.
Yeah. The Paragons do look very good. It's a shame that a lot of these are, you know, like, blacked out because they couldn't get all of the text, and that kind of upsets me. Because I really want to know what this Phyrexian green thing is.
Yeah, I wonder why that's so.
Yeah.
Seems peculiar.
And, like, Inferno Fist doesn't have a casting cost.
Yeah.
But it looks good. I mean, I'm thinking it's, like, a red and something. Enchanted creature you control. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2. You can sacrifice it to deal damage to target creature or player. That really makes an aura, you know, as long as you have a red mana up, they're never going to 2-for-1 you, really.
Yep, or the Master Polymorphist. I wonder, maybe there's some sort of combo deck floating around. Like, can you play Token Makers and then throw, like, a Blightsteel Colossus or something absolutely absurd in your deck and just throw that onto the battlefield? I don't know, maybe.
Worth noting, there are 3 cards revealed in white that have Convoke.
That's true.
Convoke is a, well, if you play EDH, you know what Convoke is because you've run the Doubling Seasons. Or not Doubling Season, but Court of the Calling.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So. Or if you play Cube a lot, was it Sprout Swarm? Is your bomb card? Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So much fun. But, I mean, we don't know for sure about any of these. These are actually coming from Mythic Spoiler on this one. Although this Necromancer's Assistant is some awesome art.
Yeah, or I like the creature that... Is it in this set? The one where you have the, I think I found it. The Chasm Skulker. The one where every you draw a card, you put a +1/+1 counter on it, and then when it dies, you put 1/1 blue squid creature tokens with Island Walk, where X is the number of +1/+1 counters on it. So, I could see you dropping this on turn 3 and then going to town through your other turns. That could be pretty sweet.
Guess it could be. Well, let's move off of M15. I do have one topic that I have to talk about now that, you know what? I didn't want to have to talk about this, but it caused a shitstorm. So I'm going to have to bring it up.
Sandwiches?
God, I wish it was that simple.
I guess not.
Okay, you folks might have saw a bunch of crap going over on Twitter the other day about people beating the holy hell out of raccoons. For those who don't know, the group that was... kind of brought forward for that, because the group was never directly mentioned on Twitter. It was just said that it was a Facebook group. That was our Facebook group. It was poor taste. I talked to everybody involved in it, and, you know, a lot of things got said here and there and about it being, you know, like illegal animal abuse. And, you know, I don't want to say that beating the holy hell out of a raccoon is good. All I can do is give the whole story, and I can explain Pennsylvania law to a lot of people who don't understand Pennsylvania law, because what he did was completely 100% legal. Here's why. Because most raccoons in the state of Pennsylvania have rabies. Due to the fact that they have rabies, most of them, any raccoon you see is considered, while it may have it or not, it is considered for the public safety to be an infected animal. Infected animals, you're allowed to kill. Okay? By any means necessary, you are allowed to kill them. Now, second part of the law clearly states that if the homeowner is on his own land, he has the right to protect his land in the state of Pennsylvania from any outside animal short of a bear, a deer, basically your main game animals. Raccoon does not fall under that list.
So I'm protected?
Yeah, you're protected until yes. until bear season. Oh. And you're just screwed. But I don't know when white bear comes in, so.
I'll stay up here in Connecticut.
I mean, we do have black bear season. We do not have white bear season, so. God damn it, PA, you're a racist. Well, there ain't no polar bears, so there's no point in white bear season. Anyway, so, like, that's kind of why it's legal for him to do what he did. Now, here's the story behind it, which was not conveyed in the original post very well. And I want everybody to sit down right now and imagine this in their head. You're sitting in an 8x10 shed. This shed has one door. You, two other guys, and a table is in this shed and some chairs. And then, you know, random other things because, well, it's a fucking shed. You stick stuff in it. So there's not much room to move. And a raccoon comes wandering in the front door of the shed. I'm sure that if people were really honest to themselves, because I've seen people do this over a fucking spider, let alone a raccoon, just grab the closest thing next to you and beat the hell out of it to protect yourself. It's called fight or flight. It is a gene that is within every human being. That's what happened. He grabbed the closest thing next to him and just started beating on the thing. It happened to be a baseball bat. Now, here's where it falls short as far as I'm concerned. Should he have posted that on Facebook? Should he have put that on the Pit Imps page? No! No! Should he have thrown magic cards on it and, you know, tried to make a joke out of it? No! He shouldn't have. But he made a mistake. And let's be frank. If you've never made a mistake, you can chastise the dude. If you have made a mistake in your life, and he admitted that it was a mistake doing that, which is why he pulled it off the page before I ever said a word to him about it. Let's be honest. I mean, if you admit it's a mistake, you probably should show a little forgiveness. That's just me.
Yeah, he has sinned, cast the first stone, or he who hasn't sinned, cast the first stone, right?
I guess. I'm not a religious person, but, yeah. I mean, in that vein as well, you know? It's all the same. Like, you know, if it wasn't for forgiveness, and I'm not lying about this, like, I put this up on the page, and, you know, I'm going to let everyone else just flat out know this. If it wasn't forgiveness, if it wasn't for forgiveness in my life, I literally would be in an alley right now, instead of recording with the awesome John Celso, banging heroin into my arm. This is not a joke. I'm 100% serious about that.
Yeah, you've said the complete truth there. I'm totally with you on the whole thing. And, you know, I'm glad that everything got straightened out, you know, that he took the post down and all that. So hopefully I think everything will be cool.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, I unfortunately did have to bring this up on the show because, well, it involved our group and I got a lot of, messages from people. All private, thank God. Some of them were like the ones that Celso sent me. It was like, dude, you really need to look at the Facebook page. Other ones were not so nice, but that's cool. I'm fine with it. I'm a big boy. I can deal with it. But, you know, I just want that to be out there that, look, this is the way it is. And, you know, I was honestly thinking about actually removing these people from the page when I first heard about it because I'm not going to lie, man, from the shit I was hearing originally, like dude, it was like I fucking raped a child.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. I can surely, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, it's over now. The page is back to normal where we talk about 99% magic. Come join us. become friendly with us. Casey, I'm sorry that that happened, and I'm sure at some point you will find it in your heart to come back, and I know this already for a fact. You'll be back, because you'll miss us, because we are awesome. We just had a slip.
Hey, if nobody made mistakes, we wouldn't be a fucked up family, right?
That's just it. I mean, we don't claim to be a great family. And guys, I will say this flat out. Think about everything you post. If you think that it's going to offend some people, maybe you should think twice about putting it out there. Even if you don't see where it could be offending to yourself, you know, run it by somebody if it's something like this and go, could this be, you know, taken the wrong way? And if it could be taken the wrong way, just think twice about putting it out there. That's just common internet sense there.
Hey, it's like my family members said in the past. I mean, you got the freedom of speech, but you got to be ready for the consequences.
Yes, you do. Yep, freedom of speech only protects you from your government. From nothing else does it protect you.
Exactly.
Which is a damn shame, because people are just so... There's just too much political correctness and uptightness in this world right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there, but I'm sure that's up for a whole another cast.
It is. What you been up to there, sir?
Oh, well, we joked around before the cast and mentioned, my wife and I are, if we're not in the poorhouse before, we definitely are now once, we closed in our house last week, but I'm still excited. We, you know, home ownership is a sweet thing to be part of. So, you know, so that now has given me what, 5, 6, 7 times the number of projects I already have. But I mean, it's cool. It's like now we have this like little investment thing, you know, and it's like a baby, you know, we have to treat it right and do all, you know, all sorts of things. So I'm excited, you know, do landscaping and do some handyman work and, you know.
Ooh. Hey, I mean, some landscaping and some handyman work.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I guess I was spoiled as a kid. You know, my dad loved being hands-on, so he did everything. And he tried getting me involved, but, like, he didn't really take the approach of, you know, all right, I'll tell you to do this, you do it, and I'll kind of watch you. He just kind of, like, just wanted to do it himself and make me watch and see if I could figure out what's going on. And
it's quicker if I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it's quicker, but, like, it didn't help me learn, because I'm a learner by doer type of person. So, you know what? Now I got a house of my own to do things to and to learn, so I'm kind of excited. My dad's actually coming up this weekend to help me out with a couple things before they move to Florida, like pretty much everybody in the state of New York does. So that's exciting. We've got that going on.
Well, sir, let me say that if you need any help with any of that,
hey,
not that I can
go.
Help you, but I can walk you through just about any project you could possibly have.
That sounds awesome.
I can build a house and do the outside from the ground up. I'm not joking. Don't ask me about cars, but everything else I can help you out with.
Oh, that's all right. Cars are not my wheelhouse either. Hey, sometimes you need to pay somebody to do it versus trying to do it yourself and causing a bigger problem.
I don't know. I'm beginning to learn more about cars, but I'm still not what I would call a car guy.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah. So, I mean, got that. I mean, played some Legacy in Somerset. That was exciting. Now I finished my Ant deck. Got played in Providence as well. And, you know, trying to still get involved with Magic when I have some chances. Excited for Vintage Masters. I'm looking forward to the future. Like, we got Vintage Masters coming up. I'm going to do a little more streaming. Probably do some Legacy online, you know, depending on what I'm drafting. I mean, it's just, you know, like I said, if I'm not doing the house, I'm trying to do Magic stuff. You know, other than that, that's pretty much occupying my whole time.
That's cool, man. So, like, I've actually been trying to dip into Standard, like I said. So, in between playing a lot of drafts and limited, you know, queues online, I've been, you know, jumping into games a block. And I have, like, this dirtily mono-red deck that I have that's... It's okay. When it works, it's very explosive. When it doesn't, when it runs into a single Anger of the Gods, it's bad.
Oh, I know what you mean. Block's not a bad format. I kind of like the different things going on.
Yeah, I also have my version of Red-Green Elspeth Belt, which I've made some changes to the sideboard that I think are pretty good. I've found that Irois is an excellent card in the mirror match.
Really?
Elspeth against Elspeth, your guys get through.
Huh.
Because it's like a madcap skills.
Oh, Irois the God. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I've been putting that in when I play against other Elspeth decks. So if we both get an Elspeth basically the same turn, I'm able to kill his where he's not able to kill mine.
Right. I was thinking the whole time of Hero of Heroes, which is probably, that would be the block deck I'm going to build, just so I can battle some block with you, my friend. So it'd be some sort of Hero of Heroes deck. I don't know what color, what splash color, but, it's hard to say no when you have that and Eidolon of Countless Battles in the same block and even like Demon Hero.
Yeah.
Ooh, whew, God's willing. Thank you.
I do got to draft me some Banishing Lights though, because, that has become a legitimate problem that I do not own any of those yet. And I'm not one to buy stuff, really, because I draft enough that I have most of the cards I need. But I've yet to draft a Banishing Light, and I've yet to get one in a sealed pool, and I really need some Banishing Lights, so I may actually buy those.
Well, it's not like a 5-10 cent uncommon either. We're talking like 2.5 tickets, which is not cheap.
Yeah, right. And it's like I'm only going to buy like 2 or 3 anyway, and I need one more Courser to really round the deck out perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I am running the version that has a Ajani in it.
Ooh, how is it?
I really like the Ajani, because he can make something like a Courser just get out of hand.
Okay, I can totally see that. I like that.
He's only a one of in the deck, and, you know, he can make anything that you put down just get out of hand where, you know, the ones without it, you can get into a lot of stalemate boards, and it just pushes you a little bit over the top.
Or, like, another block deck I could see myself putting together. I don't know if I would, but, like, 5-color green. Like, play some Chromanticore and some Coursers and some Nylea's Presence and just, like, go balls to the wall. Especially now that we have, like, Mana Confluence and Rainbow Lands.
I'm so ashamed to say that I own 7 Chromanticores. Hey. And yet I don't own a single Springleaf Drum.
I mean, like, it plays some neat cards. Like, you get to play a little of everything. You get to play cards like Guilds. You get to play Eidolon of Blossoms as sort of a, as a draw engine. Like, Sylvan Curated's help fix your mana as well, as long as you're with your mana confluences. I mean, it could be a thing. I'm not sure. I'm gonna have to play around with this block metagame. Especially, you know, after rotation, you have a pool of decent cards to work with. You know what's shocking, though, about the block metagame? Like, before the Pro Tour, Reanimator was all the rage on Modo.
Yeah.
Now, gone. Absolutely gone.
Yeah, it just disappeared. We was talking about that last week. Like, you know, it was actually like a week before the Pro Tour. When all the testing was going on, like the Reanimator decks were starting to fall out of favor because they were getting housed in the dailies.
Right.
And now they're just gone. Just, I mean, you cannot find them. Now it's like people either going really, really fast or they're playing like the red-green Elspeth midrange or you're playing Junker Bug.
Yeah, or like, there's some cool, I'm peeking at some of the different archetypes, like, there seems to be some sort of Black-Blue-inspired deck potentially going on, like Daring Thief and Pain Seer and Springleaf Drum and freaking Tu Makar.
Oh, King Makar is good.
Huh, Triton Tactics? Sign me up. I mean, I gotta get in now. Gotta have some fun with this.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's because of the block, Pro Tour just happening. But yeah. Like, if you have temples from the first set of Theros, they're not worth anything.
Even the Born of the Gods have come down, too.
The Born of the Gods temples have come down. The new temples, like Temple of Maladies, like 9 tickets.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse, though.
It's the black-green one. Like, I mean, it's more than the blue-white one, and let's be realistic here. Historically, when has the black-green land been worth more than the blue-white one?
True. No, that's very true.
You know, it's just kind of awkward to me. I think it has a lot to do with the Pro Tour just happening, and people are like, oh, holy hell, we have to hurry up and jump in and buy all these cards, so when rotation happens, like, I don't think I'm going to even try to buy a Temple of Malady until, like, a month from now.
Or the blue-red temple leaf as well, I'm sure is pretty high.
Yeah. Malady's the one I've really been looking at because I do want to build junk.
You want to stare at your junk?
Yes. Yes, I want everyone to stare at my junk. I'm not ashamed.
Hey, I may have to make my heroic get through your junk.
Okay. Heroic junk. Let's see, what else have I been doing, though, besides that? Like, because, like, the holiday happened, and I tried to go to a cookout at my mom's house, and every time I go to my mom's house, and the whole family's there, she lives in this small little place, and there's a bunch of kids running around, and just, like, banging doors and everything else. Within, like, an hour, I get sick. I get this splitting migraine, and I just have to leave. So I didn't even get to enjoy the cookout, so that sucked.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, but, I mean, my wife, she stayed up there, and she brought me home a plate of food, but it wasn't, like, fresh off the grill.
Yeah.
And what sucked is, I decided that I couldn't take it no more as the food was coming in.
that sucks.
Yeah.
Well, we actually got the grill out because we said, you know what? What the fuck, man? We got a house. Let's go freaking grill. We don't have anything in the house, but, you know, got $20 from Walmart charcoal grill, got a chimney, got the briquettes, the whole nine yards, got some burgers and dogs, just went out to our backyard and started grilling up some food. It was awesome. You know, it feels nice to finally be able to grill and not have to worry about an apartment complex getting freaking out on people about grilling.
Yeah, I'm thinking this coming weekend. For those who don't know, my birthday is this weekend, okay?
Yeah.
So, like, normally I throw this huge party. This year, I don't think I'm going to because I missed a week of work because I was sick. So my finances kind of, like, you know, shot me in the foot. So I don't think I'm throwing the party, but I'm still going to put my smoker through its paces for at least me and the wife.
Ooh, that's on our to-do list. Pick up the smoker at some point.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fire up the smoker and me and the wife's going to sit back here and have a good time. Who knows? Depending on what my car inspection costs, I might still order a bucket of crabs and have them shipped overnight from Baltimore.
Oh, this is not fair, man.
Hey, man, I'm only like 12 hours away if you want to drive.
That's like hanging bacon in front of my face. This is torture. This is cruel and unusual punishment right there.
Yeah, but it's my birthday, so I get to do this. But yeah, so that's coming up. So I'm kind of preparing for the whole birthday thing. And aside from that, I mean, I've been working a lot. So that's kind of been my life. Yeah, I think it's time to move the shout outs. Celso, do you have any shout outs?
Well, shout out to you for inviting me to come on, even though, Brother Ryan is out sick.
Yeah, that kind of worked out well.
Well, I'll catch him again soon. All three of us can go start to finish. Something have not done on the checklist yet.
Yeah, I would like that to happen. Don't get me wrong, but to be real honest, to find out literally a minute before I hit the record button that Ryan wasn't going to be able to make it, to know that you was here, I felt good.
Fair enough.
Like, you're a good co-host. I was okay with that. Like, you know, I'm sorry, Houston, that I stole him for the night, but hey, it happens.
Well, shout out to him, too. I'll segue into that for making day two. That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
Let's see. Shout out to Tendrils of Agony, because it is a fun card to play. It's like crack, basically. You know, once you get on the crack, it's hard to get off the crack. Like, I'm going to be addicted for a little while. So, shout out to that. My wife, because I'll never figure out why she puts up with me. We'll just put it at that. I've tried. I just don't understand anymore. But she's awesome. Let's see. Maybe shout out for the World Cup. I feel like that'll be something fun to watch because right now I'm stuck with Mets baseball, and I'm sure they're getting their ass handed to by the Pirates right now.
Dude, the game yesterday, I thought we were dead in the water, and we ended up blowing you guys out.
Hey, if you want to watch a team that knows how to lose in the most interesting and unpredictable ways, then you go watch the Mets the last 10 years.
The cast, they were winning, so they won nothing.
Yeah, well, I think the Pirates are still at bat, so I wouldn't,
The game's legitimately still going on. It's almost 11 o'clock.
Yeah, it's top nine. I wouldn't count them out just yet. They got time to blow it.
What's the score?
4-2.
Okay.
They could easily take this.
Did you see the catch McCutchen made in the third?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay. It's on SportsCenter. It's going to be a top 10. So we don't need to talk about it on here.
Fair enough. So really, it's like I have that to watch until mid-June. I'd rather just go to sleep and wait till the World Cup.
You know, I don't want to sound less cultured, but you know what I got to say about soccer.
Oh, hey, to each their own. I mean, I spent a couple, like, one of my mom's ex-husbands, he was huge into Serie A, Italian soccer. Uh-huh. So, like, Sunday morning, it was just a thing. You know, wake up early, turn on the public access channel that puts on, like, TV stations from various countries throughout the week. And, like, Sunday morning, it was Italian soccer. And I got hooked because it was something I could do with them because I didn't get to know them all that well. But, I mean, I followed the sport ever since. And I got to play some a little bit as well. So,
no, that's cool. I mean, like, it's the pace of the game because, like, I can sit and watch indoor soccer
sure.
for days. Like, I love it. But the pace of the, you know, the full court soccer, It's just too slow for me.
Yeah, it definitely takes a different kind of mindset to enjoy those kinds of games, because it's much, much different than like baseball, basketball, football, and hockey.
It's not the fast paced American sport that I'm used to. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Even baseball's slow, but you know, because I played it at such a high level, like I'm seeing intricacies that your average fan doesn't.
Right.
And that's where I'm like, you know, oh man, there's so much going on and it's just the pitcher on the mound.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at shifts and everything else that normal fans just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't have much hope for our team, the American team, because they're just in such a rough group. But, I mean, if they make it through, God bless them. But if they don't, I'm excited to see if the Italian team can squeeze one out, because they're kind of set up pretty well for this tournament. So I'm looking forward to it.
As long as French people are headbutting things, I'll at least have some.
As long as the French people are headbutting things that benefit the Italians, I'm totally for it.
You know, what was it? Zidane or whatever his name was?
Yeah, Zinedine Zidane, yeah.
Yeah. I know more about the sport than I care to admit. You got any other shout-outs, man?
Nah, I think we're good. That's a solid list.
Let me give a shout-out to you for coming on and helping me out tonight. And let me give a shout-out to Houston for letting him come on, because normally they're recording Tap and Sack it right now. So, thanks, Houston. Let me give a shout-out to Hoyo de Monterrey Excalibur Robusto. This is a limited edition cigar. For those who don't know, when we're recording this, I sit here and smoke a cigar.
Because you're a lucky bastard.
Dude, this is a good goddamn cigar. Like, I've now, since the local cigar shop got these in, this is like the third one I've had. And, man, these are good. Like, they are smooth. Although, they do have a problem with, even though they're like, the humidity's good, once you get about halfway through, the outside wrap cracks.
Oh, that's not good.
And you lose the rest. You lose, you know, basically, you're only, I don't know, a half inch from the marker tape on it.
Right.
But, you know, still, I like to smoke it down to the tape.
Hey, full value, man.
Right. I lose a little bit of value there. So, you know, and we're Magic players, so we're all about EV. I expect to get to the tape, and I don't quite get there. But aside from that, the cigar is smooth. It's very mellow. It's very good. And I've enjoyed these the last couple of weeks. And today, I just felt like I had to give them a shout out. Let me give a shout out to Ruben. He was one of the friends on Facebook that got on there and was like, hell yeah, I will grind with you. So, you know, he grinded a few games with me of block instead of me just playing complete strangers. So, you know, that's always good because you can talk to the person, you know.
Right.
Let me give a shout out to the wife because, you know, I don't know, she's sitting in there and I got to make it look like I care, right?
I won't comment there for both our benefits.
Yes. Shout out, anti-shout out again to Jimmy Johns because, you know, you kept Ryan off of the cast tonight, you bastards.
Exactly.
Yes. You know what? Shout out to the movie Major Payne because while I was sick with my fucking migraine, I sat at home and watched that probably for the 200th time in my life, and that movie does not get worse.
Yeah, that's a movie for sure.
Love that movie, and I don't know why, but.
Boy, I'm 2 seconds of being on you like while we're on rice and a glass of milk on a paper plate in a snowstorm.
Yeah, you've seen it a few times if you can remember that rant. Oh my god.
Doesn't it say like I'm gonna put my foot so far up your ass the water on my knee will quench you thirst?
Yeah. He does say that. Boy, you keep living with me, I will absolutely shove my foot so far up your ass. Or when he goes up to the deaf guy, he's like, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, Mr. Deaf Guy. But understand that if you don't hear me or my lips move when I speak, I'm going to take my foot and shove it up your ass. And the little engine that could speech. Oh, guys, go watch that movie if you've never seen it. It's good. If you wanted to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me at Gonksuo on Twitter. Also the same on MTGO in case you wanted to grind some block. You can also get a hold of me at the Pit Imps podcast. pitimppodcast@gmail.com and, you know, multiple other places. Facebook group, please jump on there and everything else. Celso, how would they get hold of you?
Let's see. They can hug me. I mean, I'm good to bear hugs. Wrong type of how to get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's try again. At Balduvian Bears on Twitter. I got a Facebook account as well, /Balduvian Bears, a very original name. Even hell, believe it or not, I opened another MTGO account. Guess what that username is?
Balduvian Bears.
Hey, somebody's got to make a presence on MTGO. So I got that going on. I got articles every other week for MTGBroDeals.com, a pretty awesome site. Some other people I happen to know that might podcast potentially tonight also write for that site as well. So you should go check it out. Article coming out this week. Yep, that's my every other week. TapAndSack.com. I put something out every week, although I owe for this past week, but that's because I'm going to give myself an excuse because I was very busy last week with the house. So got to make up for that. And then, yeah, come give us a listen over at Tap and Sack Cast. I think you can go right from the page, TapAndSack.com.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Next week we have two GPs. One of them is going to be Block Constructed, and I believe that one is in Monterey. And then in Sao Paulo, we have, going to be Sealed. Somebody erased my notes here about that, so I just want to point that out. Also, we have an SCG event. It's Manchester, my bad.
Manchester's Block, Sao Paulo is Limited.
Okay, team, I did pretty team good. Limited. There. Okay, I did pretty good there. Yeah. And then SCG is going to be an indie this coming week, so we're going to talk about all that next week. Also, I might just be announcing a winner to a certain contest.
Oh, so I will, I'll take my acceptance now if that's cool. So thank you everybody for, voting mine as the best. I'm glad that the Pinimps podcast will be waving their new flag of the butt crack with Pinimps podcast on there. It was great. A lot of people to thank, too many to list for today. So yeah, thanks everybody.
Salsa.
What?
You didn't win.
Oh, so close. So close.
No. Nope, hasn't been close at all, man.
Well, I think I have one more submission, right? I submitted two.
I do believe you submitted two, so you do technically have one more you can try to. But guys, get them in. You know, you got a little bit of time left. Hurry up and just jam these things in. I think that's why Twitter was going crazy tonight. I think it was Steven Raphael and a couple of those people just going absolutely berserk trying to get their submissions in. And that is fucking awesome. But if you haven't gotten yours in, what the hell are you waiting for? Yeah, I mean, just heavy metal put stick figures out there, for fuck's sake. You can do at least better than that.
Yeah, just think about it. Like, your piece of art could be the symbol for the podcast that you enjoy. And not only that, you get freaking $100, right?
You get $100, dude.
And other goodies, too. Yeah, like,
poor folk giving out money like that, that's for real. You should enjoy that stuff. But, Celso, we've reached that point in the show.
We give each other a bear hug?
Yeah, but it's, but I'm behind you doing it.
Uh-oh.
God damn it, why'd I get so drunk in Philly? That bottle saved you, man.
Thank you.
But anyway, you know, like, Ryan's not here, and there's something he always says after I say a certain thing, before I say my last thing. So I think you're probably going to have to take that this week. So until next week.
Fuck Brad Nelson. Fuck yes, Scandinavia.
Have a good one, guys, and go fuck yourself.